Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast. Folk that ass.
Hey, who's that?
Who's that on it?
Hey,
get off the.
Hey, get off the roof.
This is Elise down here. I mean, we're ratting Santa. Come on now. Santa Claus up on the roof. First of all, it's the only time I've ever
what
laughed.
What happened?
During the, I kept hearing these hauls over there. I wasn't sure if we were
trying
going
to find the groove,
I didn't know if you were Native American pitch touching over there is what it sounded like. I started laughing.
You know what I thought was going to happen? I felt like I had good wind. I had a distance in me. And
that's
like,
your next album right there.
Good wind. And I knew if we didn't touch pitches, you were going to be like, no, we can't go out on that. We got it. And I was like, I had a chance to take you. So,
yeah. Well,
you know what River's been calling Santa Claus?
What?
Well, she did for like a week and a half and then she stopped. Santa Clausy.
Santa Clausy?
Yeah. Like and then Santa she's Clausy. Me too, dude. Yeah. It was the cutest. And then she stopped and I was like, what happened to Santa Clausy? She goes, Santa Claus. And I'm like, where's Santa Clausy?
Oh, get up. Get your ass off the roof.
Hey,
Santa, reindeer. Rudolph's taking his shit over there, Santa. Not down the chip. Oh, goddamn. That shit's going to smell in that
damn
fire,
chimney,
Santa
man.
Claus. Jay Larson.
Sickle cell.
It's been great to touch your pitch for
always.
8 years.
Has
7 years?
Eight?
I don't
seven,
know.
I think it's seven.
I can't.
Sickle always out
I don't
of
even
here.
Know. I like, you know what I mean.
You
like,
know when you're like 70, you'd be like, Stella, we did that buggers for 25 years. 25 years. Great to be here, bub, and great to be here with you guys. It's our last Crab Feast ever. Pretty special, pretty awesome. What an accomplishment, you know, that we were able to do this, and we were able to do it with all of our fans out there. And we got a great episode today.
Oh, man.
And at the end of the episode, Ryan and I are going to button it up with a nice conversation about, you know, what the podcast meant to us and a bunch of other stuff. So we have a great guest on the podcast, so at the end of it, stick around because it doesn't end with that guest. We're going to sit and chat for a little bit.
And as far as today's episode goes, one of the things that I tried to – it's taken me – I mean, well, I'll go all the way back to birth, so 45 years to not be so reactionary.
And I mean, if I want to be honest, probably before birth.
Probably before birth. This is prenatal play. To just sit and let things play out, and usually they take care of themselves.
Always, dude.
Not always. Not always. Sometimes they don't. But most of the time they do. So, you know, a lot of people out there clamoring for their lists and all that sort of stuff today. Just sit back. We got a little something special for you in old Santa Claus's sack over there. All right! What do you got in that bag,
hey!
Santa?
Hey, get off that roof!
How you hopping roof to roof like that, Santa? How you do that? He's touching his nose, man. He's gone. You gotta see Jay over here pulling the mic way far away and bringing it back in.
Hey, why are you skipping our house? Hey, get back here, Sandy. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, and all social media. You guys know where I am. Thanks again for all your loyal support over all the years. I hope to see you over at thethroughlinepodcast.com. And the Throughline Podcast on social media. I got some great episodes for you. We can talk about that at the end. I'll give you all that information afterwards. This is our last episode. It's really special. to, you know, again, to be here. But again, we'll talk about all that at the end. So, Sickle Cell, tell them where you're at.
Well, I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Guys, if you want to keep helping me out, the new album is out. Get a hold of yourself. It's available now. It's on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora. You can create your own Ryan Sickler channel, stream it on Sirius. If you're on iTunes, throw up that Feaster 5-star rate and review. Help me out. And a huge thank you to everyone who has already bought the album or listened and all the kind words I'm getting back about it. You guys are great. I'll have some new stuff for you January 10th. If you're in LA, I'm at the Comedy Store for Christina Pajitsky. What? What's it? Sad, I'm trying to do my plug, Sadie. Go to the house next door. Come back. January 10th, Comedy Store for Christina Pajitsky show. Tom Segura will be on there as well. It's going to be a fun show. And you've got till New Year's Eve to get your FTCF Tuesday and Hey Hey Playa shirts and hoodies. They're available now on Bonfire. Links are on the crabfeast.com and all our social media.
You see what I'm wearing today, babe?
I see that Kentucky Derby play. I had my blue Tuesday on yesterday, the blue one.
Yeah.
I love it.
When I bought this, it didn't fit, son.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an XL?
Yep.
Very good, buddy.
15 pounds, baby.
Good for you. You look good, dude.
Grazie, prego.
You know, hey, it's never too late to tell you to subscribe and follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. We're leaving all the info up. You guys can have at it. I will always refer back to this podcast. This podcast changed my life. It changed everything for me. And
still changing. It's changed other people's lives.
It has.
Or at least affected and influenced.
In a positive way for a goddamn change.
Yeah, of course.
So I want to say thank you to all you feasters out there for always listening, for being the shit when we come to your town. How many times have people come up to us and said, thank you for coming to, you know, Denver? I'm like, what? You're thanking us for coming to your... Like, that blows me away, the kindness. And I will, as Jay said afterwards, I'll tell you about my new podcast, The Honey Do at the Your Mom's House Studios. But
special holiday.
We're here to feast.
We wouldn't have.
It's a Christmas Tuesday.
Yep. Which is awesome. And it wouldn't be a Christmas.
I just want to say this
guest. Yes.
That's true. It's Crafty's coming to a close.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of you are going to be very sad, but don't be sad. All right. This is the way it goes. Listen. We're pulling all the traps in. We're bringing the bull lips up. The trot line's coming in. We're making one more pass for those soft crabs and a little dip. And we're going to ride home. We're going to steam these motherfuckers up. And we're finally going to sit down and have an actual crab.
Listen, the Colts ran out of town fucking one night. We gave you guys 3 months to prepare.
They ran out in a few hours.
Yeah. We gave you 3 months, your favorite guests. And we gave you 7 years.
Now I want to ask you this, too.
We're all moving on to new and great things.
That's right. 10 episodes we did final. So we had how many guests so far? 9, right?
9. This will be the 10th.
This will be our 10th
guest.
But
Kirkman was like 11. She would have hands down been in the 10. You know?
So we did. I follow a lot of you guys out there. I'm in the fan pages. I enjoy interacting with you guys.
Nah, he's in the fan. He's not even on it, man.
I'm not on it. I'm up in there. And
you know who else is in there?
Who's in there?
Santa Claus! Hey! You sent me a Facebook friend request, man. How do you got time to do all this?
Take one cookie, you son of a bitch.
You know you're lactose intolerant.
put that milk down, goddammit. We were going to do a final episode with just us. We did talk about that.
Yeah.
We talked about a few things, actually. We did. But... You know, hey.
And you were the one that you were like, I just think it's kind of anticlimactic. And I'm like, I think it'll be good. And you were right. It's like the thing that's made this great is the guests and.
Yeah, and the stories. And let's go
stories.
Out like we came in, man.
Yeah. And especially on a Christmas, there's no better guest in the world than the one we have today. And again, that's why at the end of this episode, stick around because Ryan and I are going to like. What would have been a final ep for an hour and a half, we condensed down.
We condensed it, yeah. We condensed the word to condense.
No, not the milk, man. Just the...
You got condensation all over that motherfucker.
Hey, those carrots are for the reindeer, you son of a bitch.
You know you don't eat carrots. Making that mic go rooftop to rooftop over there.
Well, let's get to it, man.
Let's feast.
We love this guy. I can't imagine a guest that you would want more at your Christmas celebration than this guy.
No way.
Anytime you see this man in person or on stage or on a podcast, he just brings an amazing energy.
Jimmy Josh Hanukkah. This guy's Christmas.
You goddamn right it is. Let's just say this, though. You'd much rather have this guy at your Christmas than Jimmy Josh at your Hanukkah. That's a fact, Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, whether he's at your house or at the Black Palace, we're excited to have him in here at the Crab Feast to close it out with us. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Back to the Crab Feast.
Mr. Steve Zabone.
Final Crab Feast.
Wow.
Mr. Steve Zabone. To the Crab Feast.
I can't believe this is it. Thank you for having me. This is...
Santa!
Santa Claus! Brought to you all the feasters of Steve Zabone present, everybody.
This is already more fun than I've had in like 3 months.
Oh, man. Well, welcome back, and I know we're laughing and yelling and talking over each other, but it is a pleasure to have you here. We're glad we could sneak you in on the final episode.
I'm so honored. I'm definitely emotional.
Christmas with Steve Zabone on the Crab
it's
Feast.
It's Christmas.
The Christmas Crab Feast with Steve Zabone.
Merry Christmas.
Now the whole episode is going to get taken down.
You.
Look, why didn't that last episode go up? Man. Like, oh, Jay sang Merry Christmas. Oh!
I caught the John Lennon War is Over yesterday, 2 days ago when I was Christmas shopping, and it just hit me.
Were you crying?
Which
in
song
the
is that? Merry Christmas.
So this is Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And what have... And I was like...
I'm thinking
it just
of
hit
the,
me, bro.
What is it? Paul McCartney? Like a...
Oh, simply having
oh yeah, that's a good one.
Christmas. You know, we've been playing Christmas music at my house for over a month.
That's
dude,
awesome.
That's when it starts every year.
With Spotify,
Stella.
I put on Spotify Holiday Channel, and then we have the Sonos. And
it's right before Thanksgiving. We're driving to school every morning, and so now it's the same fucking songs, right? It's
Which
the
ones
same.
Are they?
It's just what all the
love?
Same ones. She loves. All of them. Jingle Bells, Santa Claus Coming to Town, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like
they also
Silver
had,
Bells.
They also had a Christmas concert, so they had to practice their songs. So you'd play the ones that they were practicing.
That's where it starts. So what I did
so
now, I go, you want to hear Jingle Bells? Check out these guys right here. You'll love these guys. I put on Alvin and the Chipmunks, and now she shits. She's like, what? So she loves them singing the same songs because they get a little funky
oh
with the. Like,
my
they'll go
God.
Jingle bells, jingle, jingle them bells. You know, they do shit like that. And she's like, ah. And she loves hearing Alvin get yelled at.
I have that on vinyl, that whole album.
Do you?
And all last Christmas was that album. We play that all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Because I would only play that
one.
I would only play one song for like,
Christmas
since she's been a baby. That's the one. I would play one song because it was only one on the album I had on my iTunes. But I was like, oh yeah, we have fucking Spotify.
Alvin!
Yeah. If I got to listen to this shit, let's change it up a little bit.
Dude,
so.
The Chipmunks. I forgot they even existed.
Yeah, right.
Just
that's
said that right.
Right
now.
And they got albums out, play.
You're going to love this.
Got more albums than we do.
They're big, man. They got a star on the Walk of Fame. You'll like this. So both our kids go to the same school, and they had Christmas concerts. So
no
they,
way.
Each yeah. different Preschool. Day, they would get up, and they'd have like, you know, this room had a certain day, blah, blah, blah. So both Reed and River, they had three songs. Room 8, I think, had 4 or 5, whatever.
Yeah.
But Reed told us they were doing Jingle Bell Rock. Uh-huh. Right, so we'd always play Jingle Bell Rock. And last year's Christmas concert, Reed didn't sing. This year, he sang every song was in it. But they didn't sing Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh, no.
They sang Jingle Bells. And afterwards, like, we go meet him in the auditorium, and we're like, give him a hug and stuff. And I go, hey, you didn't sing Jingle Bell Rock. He goes, I know. I tricked you.
Nice.
I'm
he
like,
wanted to
why?
Hear an extra song.
Why? We never even knew he was singing Jingle
right.
Bells. But he had learned the whole thing without us never even. We always
he
listened
wanted
to Jingle Bell Rock.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
it was hilarious. So funny.
Stella, when she came in, so. I'll go back to my childhood. I've told this story a long time ago, but in first grade, I think it was first grade, I was Santa in the elementary school play.
What?
Santa Claus.
You scored the biggest
role
there
role.
Is.
Bro, I won the role. I was Karate Kid in seventh grade, too, man.
What?
In his defense, he was already Salt and Pepper back
then. I'm just imagining Chief Wiggum outside flashing the headlights to get you. Remember that Simpsons with Ralph Wiggum? Never! And he threw the glass. It was a classic.
So, and I'll tell you, like, my daughter coming out for the things. That's I get the Santa Claus role. And, my family's stoked. They're all going to come to the play. And... my two grandmothers always respected each other and liked each other, but they didn't kick it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they
would
see each other at events like this,
sure.
birthdays, holidays, that sort of thing. So they both were like, we're going to try not to sit too close. We're going to get emotional. We're going to cry. I'm like, well, don't cry. Like, it's not, you know, that's what I'm learning. I'm first grade, like 5-6 years old.
Is this the same year you got the mall gig at Santa Claus as well?
Right after that. Right. I get the role, and I still remember a girl named Wendy Paul was Mrs. Claus, Mrs. Santa Claus. And, at the end of the whole thing, there's 8 kids that are going to come over. They're going to pull a wagon in front of the stage, and then I'm going to, cause it's in the cafeteria.
And then you're going to,
on that, on that, on Tuesday. Yeah, on Tuesday. Christmas Tuesday.
So, everybody gets decked out at the house. You know, I guess we're decking the halls, and we go to the school. And I remember this vividly. Like, it was a minute before Santa made an entrance. It might, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there was a whole setup of something's going on, and we got to tell Santa. I don't remember the storyline, but I come out, and my fucking grandmothers are dead front row, dead center. And as soon as I walk out with the ho ho ho, I don't even see my mom and dad. They are pissing themselves, falling over,
comfortable each other,
falling on each other, dying laughing, and I'm laughing because they're laughing, and I just remember that drug of like, oh my god, this feels fucking awesome. It didn't matter about the rest of the people in that room. I didn't know them. I knew these two.
It wasn't sold out. Okay.
Like my show is a lighthouse.
There's about 12 rows in the back. It's pretty light, you know. Heavily concentrated over near the fucking refreshments and donuts and whatnot, but scattered over here.
Now, was this in the school auditorium, in the gymnasium? Was it in your classroom?
If I remember it correctly, it's elementary school. It was sort of the auditorium that doubled as the cafeteria. There was a cafeteria with like a little
stage.
Yeah, like a two-step stage, you know, that kind of thing with a curtain you can come in. But yeah, they were all, I mean, just all over them. And I'm looking down laughing, and there were times where people forgot their lines, and I would whisper it in there. I knew everybody's lines, and they would kill them that I would be like, it's Rudolph. And they would be like, oh my god. So things that wrapping up, and I'm supposed to get, you know, taken away on my sleigh with my 8 tiny reindeer, and I get in the wagon, and these kids they're hauling ass. And right, I just remember this so clearly, right by the ice cream freezer. Remember they had those big ones?
Yes.
Those big giant ones on the floor, and they'd lift it up, and the fucking smoke would all be coming out. Like, what? I want a nutty buddy. And he'd reach in there, like, how many of them are in there?
And there'd be like frozen ice, like attached to it, look like snow.
Listen, Santa wants a nutty buddy. Give it to him.
Santa needs a nutty buddy. They turned that corner so hard, that wagon tipped. I crashed up into that goddamn ice thing. My grandmothers were dying, and then out of there. And I will never forget that. So my daughter, when they did their songs, you know, at the school, she had made these two little, like, popsicle Christmas trees, like construction paper they made in class. She goes, all right, you're going to hold the blue one, give the green one to mom, and then when I come in, I want y'all to hold them up and wave them so I know where you're sitting.
This
was her plan.
That's so cute.
I go, okay. Smart.
I go, you want a cheering section? We'll be there with bells on. She's like, yep. So I made sure, like, I put them in.
What kind of bells would you have on?
I think it was either silver bells or some
jingle bells. Oh, there's my dad. That's my dad right there, man.
J-I-N-G-L-E bells.
I want those J-I-N-G-L-E bells.
So, yeah.
That's Sinatra.
She comes in. Yeah, it is. Yeah, we listen to that one a lot. So she comes in, and we're just going. We're just quietly, because you're in the church. You know what I mean? And it's so funny to me. I see kids sitting on the top of the pews and stuff, and I'm just like, like, I just know if that was ever us in church,
you
would have been physically abused in that church, and they wouldn't have given a shit.
Oh, yeah. You had to be
respectful. That's like letting your kids stand on a seat at a restaurant. You get them down. You're like, no, you sit on your chair.
You're right, but I feel like the element of church is a much bigger layer.
What I'm saying is that's whether it
– right.
Someone should have been like, hey, get that. What are you doing?
Yeah. Not only that, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a kids area. But it's right by the holy water, the bird bath, when you come in.
The bird bath.
And
poor Steve's like,
give them father so they know not what they do. The bird man.
Steve Simone just crawls himself. But you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And the kids are all playing in it. They got their hands in it. And I'm telling the parents, I'm like, hey, that's holy water. I don't think you guys should be there.
Oh,
and they, you know
God.
What the one lady said? It's right here by the kids' play area. I'm like, yeah, but that's not part of the play area. Like,
yeah.
Society's
falling
apart.
It's
falling apart.
Playing in the holy water.
Yeah, well,
playing.
I think there's bigger issues in the
and
church.
And then I grabbed their hands real quick.
But,
you know,
but it's all
and
part
I patted
of the same
them all
thing.
Over my face.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's all broken down. This would happen to me. Just because we were talking about our buddy Luis in the wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to take him to go see Creed. And we're coming out of the movie theater, and you know, he's in a wheelchair, and the automatic doors weren't working. It's at the Arc Light in Sherman Oaks. So now I'm trying to get him through the two. I have to hold two doors open and let him pass.
Yeah.
So I'm like doing the timing thing where I'm swinging the one open, grabbing the other, and trying to stop the other one and switching, jumping over.
Kicking and
11, 12 people must have walked right by us. Not one person stopped to hold the
yes,
door.
Yes. That.
Not one.
That's crazy to me.
Like, I could understand if it's like just. Fine. If a normal dude's walking out, you don't want to hold the door for somebody. You don't want to smile. You don't want to have common courtesy.
We're late for Creed too.
Yeah, I get it. I still hold doors for people. I still smile. All of that. But if somebody legitimately needs help,
of course.
And I went, Lou, how often does this happen? He goes, at least half the time. People just watch him. And I went, all right, I'm done.
And you didn't even help him with the doors either?
Oh, please.
You know what is the – so Steve and I were talking off mic about Seinfeld and how much we love Seinfeld. One of the greatest jokes in the history of Seinfeld that you couldn't make anymore is – I don't know if you remember this, but there was one episode. You remember the episode where the cabin burnt down? Susan's dad had a cabin.
Yes.
And Kramer left a Cuban lit in there and it burned down. And the only thing they saved were these letters from Jerry Cheever, like Suzanne's dad had a love affair with this guy. But
that's the only thing that survived.
It's the only thing that survived.
Paper.
That's how they found out he had
paper
this love affair.
Survived.
It was in a box. But Jerry and George come over to Susan's parents' apartment in New York, and Susan's aunt is in a wheelchair or grandmother is in a wheelchair
right.
or something. And Susan's mother is supposed to be like a drunk, you know, like she's a drunk.
Yep.
And she comes wheeling in the grandmother, and she goes, it's just common courtesy. When you come in the house, you wipe your wheels. And she tucked her over in the corner of the room. You know, like you wipe your feet when you come in? She goes, it's common courtesy. When you come in the house, you wipe your wheels and put her in the corner. And it's like one of the greatest jokes.
Common courtesy is such a great expression.
You know,
I love it.
There's a great scene in Taxi where I think it's Louis gets into an accident with a lady who now has claimed she needs a wheelchair. And they're in court. I'm almost positive her name's Edith. And Louis decides, you know, Danny DeVito decides that this bitch is, it's this fraud. It stinks all the way around. So when he gets up there to make an example of everything, he's insisting that this is fake. And she could get up, get out of that chair, no problem. And he turns around and he fucking just shoves her ass out of the court. No, he doesn't tip her. He rolls her in the Western Saloon. You know, they fly open and she goes out and he's like, jump out, Edith. Jump out, Edith! And then you just hear steel going down the stairs, dude. Like, it is. And then it stops, and he goes a turn, and here comes some more, and here comes some more. And then, I don't know how he, I don't know if he says no more questions or whatever.
I don't know what he says.
Yeah. But, dude, it's, I feel like people would kill you if you did that.
Dude, Taxi, one of the funniest TV shows of all time. My favorite Louis moment was when he was walking with his mom, and I think it might have been.
Little
DeVito's,
tiny lady.
Yeah, real mom.
Yeah.
And it's right as the credits roll, and he's like, come on. And she's carrying her heavy bag.
Yep.
He goes, come on, Ma. That's your bad hand. And he takes it out of her hand. And he puts it in her
other hand.
And it was just like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect comedy.
It is. It's 100%.
Dude, that show is so good.
Yeah. Well, we were talking off mic when... because we were talking about who we love and how much I love Seinfeld, and you did. And you were telling me what was that story about how you met him? I mean,
okay.
You met Seinfeld?
I cut him off because
I
wanted
to
hear
stand up. It was a great day. I had done a couple open mics, I had fooled around with comedy, and I became friends with a great New York comic named Joe Matarese. And he was very nice.
You're not going
to
believe this.
Joey Matarese!
Get your ass up! Get in here, you son of a bitch.
So Matt Arese invites me up to New York from Philly to like see like – it was almost like shadowing a professional, like a day in the life.
Yeah.
So we went to a Yankees-Red Sox day game at the old Yankee Stadium. It's the only time I've ever been there. It was awesome. And it was with a bunch of comedians.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, comedians, this is what they do. They hang out during the day and they all know each other.
So yeah, they don't work.
Right. So then we go to Matt Arese's apartment in Queens and the phone rings. And his buddy had a spot at Gotham that night. And Gotham was the new club in New York at the time. And he goes, hey, man, Seinfeld's popping in tonight. He's going up after Robert Klein. Do you guys want to come by? And Matt Arese's like, do you want to go see Seinfeld? And I was like, what? From television, Jerry Seinfeld? Like,
yeah.
So we go to Gotham. We like sit like, you know, you, when you're not a comedian, it's all so cool. But yeah. Even now, this is cool to me. Like just sitting at like the comedian
table.
Yeah. And you don't like have to pay to get in. And they're like, go ahead. And you're like walking into a front of a lot. Like it's like your living room, you know? And I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. And I'm like, I wonder if Seinfeld's going to show up. And sure enough, he comes out, does like 15, 20 minutes, and then does like 10 minutes of Q&A. And
At a comedy club? About the show?
About whatever you wanted to ask him.
That's cool.
That's called not having material. But hold on. I love that. I would love the hell out of that.
It was whatever you wanted. And
because I took Derek to see Brian Regan live. And
I've never seen Regan live. Oh. I was so pissed he was hanging out at the Comedy Store last week. He's on my bucket list.
Dude, he's fantastic. And what he'll do at the end is requests. It's not a Q&A. It's bits, though. You throw out
Gabriel does that. It's like comedy jukebox.
The sun, you know, and then he'll do that bit, you know.
That's the perfect way to handle it. Because how long does he do before he takes requests?
I think he does close to an hour, and then everyone goes nuts, and he goes off stage, and he comes back, and they clap again, and he's like, all right, just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it.
What a great show. It's awesome. That's incredible.
There's a lot of people that don't like that. There's a lot of people that say that's I don't. I think it's fantastic. It's like, look, these people paid
good money
to fucking come see you. And hey, while we love the new stuff, because that's how you get all the good stuff, like, there's only like, if we could hear five or six of those classic fucking bits, and he doesn't half-ass them. He doesn't hustle through them. He fucking tells it like you're hearing it the first time.
It's not Hall & Oates singing
Rich. He's a professional.
Rich girl.
Yeah.
Panette would do that?
Yeah. He would finish, then go back out and do like another 15 of the hits.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right. So you're at Gotham.
Okay. So I was going through my quarter life crisis. This was actually This was a year before I started to do stand up, now that I remember the time frame right.
How old were you when you started?
27.
Me too. Well, yeah. That's when I really
started.
I'd
fooled around a little bit. I'd probably done like 10 shows.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
All right. So I had a question. Because this would be good for your honeydew idea. Like, I was heartbroken. Whatever. I'm going through it. You know, you're like, anyways. So I don't get a chance to ask Seinfeld my question. But because more than a comedian, he was like a guru to me. Does that make any sense?
Sure.
Like, I'm like, that guy knows how to live life. That guy's done everything you could ever manage. Being a funny kid, like, that guy did it.
Yeah.
You know? By the way, have you ever seen his last interview with Larry King?
Yes.
When he was like, canceled.
It's the best.
Canceled.
Right? Went out on top.
Yeah, it's so good.
Have you ever heard of me, Larry? Do you know about the show? He shit all over Larry. I just made a friend of mine watch that a couple weeks ago.
It was so good.
He shits all over Larry King. He's like, is he serious? Like, he can't even get over it. He's like, we're not canceled.
You know what's
30
funny?
30 million people watched my last episode, Larry.
He is the most upfront dude. Like, Jerry, as clean as he is,
he's real.
When he was on, have you seen Letterman's new interview show on Netflix?
No.
Have you seen it?
I have, but I haven't seen Seinfeld.
With
on
Jerry,
it.
So they're just sitting there talking, and then he goes, "What have you been up to?" And he's like, "Oh, I just went on vacation." And Letterman goes, "Where do you go? Where do you go for vacation?" He goes, "Where do you think I go, Dave? Where do you think someone like me goes? That's where I go."
That's great.
Basically, he's saying like, I can go anywhere,
anywhere the fuck I want to go.
Anywhere. All right. So obviously this is okay. So I'm like debating whether I should be doing comedy. There was a girl. I don't know if I should ask her out. That's how much of a nerd I was. Should I even ask her out? So, and I wanted to have my moment with like an icon. Dude, it's so, it, still to this day, I get excited when I get to bring up somebody that famous, when I get to bring up like a Chappelle or a Burr, because I know what kind of gift that is for the audience. And I love following that too, because everybody's so happy.
Surprise
when they hand you the piece of paper and you're like, oh.
I did it once at Comedy Magic for Ray Romano.
Oh.
And I, dude, I'm not kidding you. I felt heat.
Yeah.
Like you felt like wind blow at you. They
wind?
Erupted.
Yeah. Dude, that was a great show too. Everybody loves Ray. It was so good.
Wind just hit play.
So good. So, okay. I don't get a chance to ask my question.
What were some of the questions? Anything that really popped out?
I do remember one that a comic asked, and it was such a comedian question. Because it was kind of like a dig. They were like, now that you're so famous, do you think that you still need to be funny? Or do you think, you know, like that sort of type question? And I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Do you remember what you wanted to ask?
Yeah, because I got to ask it. This is the cool part. Oh. So I was sitting at the comedian table, but I didn't know any of the comedians. Seinfeld ends his Q&A, and now everybody has to pay their checks. So I just walk out into the lobby, and I'm by myself. And I'm in the, like, the little lobby. Who walks out?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Kramer.
I remember when Kramer was doing spots at the Comedy Store in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was weird because he would go on in front of like 10 people.
Yeah.
And I remember Mike Ricka going, what's he want to do? Start over? It was great. So my question was this. I'm like, okay, there's Seinfeld. He's right there. I get a chance to ask him. I'm like, here you go. This is your chance. And I was like, so nervous. And I'm like, Mr. Seinfeld? He was like, yeah, so nice. And I was like, I'm 26 years old. You're 46 years old.
I'm the king of the Black Palace.
Maybe you've heard of me. I have an extensive Hawaiian shirt collection. I can get you a good deal on bottle rockets. So I go, I'm 26, you're 46. What I want to ask you is would you define love in the same way at 46 as you would have at 26, like romantic love? Would you define it the same way, or has your life experience changed that? And if it has changed...
Can I just say, imagine if you did have a chance to ask this, and the whole audience would be like, what the fuck?
This kid's crazy.
What is this guy going through?
Yeah. So Seinfeld goes like that, and I go, and was it as rewarding at 46 as you hoped it would be at 26? Because I knew he had postponed everything for comedy. And I prefaced it. I'm like, I'm thinking about becoming a comedian, but I know.
Oh, I didn't know that. He really put it on pause?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just thought his life?
He focused everything on comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Everything on comedy. And he had dated that girl for a while that, like, he met on
Shoshana
the road.
Shoshana or whatever.
No, this was, before, like, on the, when he was coming through. Mm. Like, I'd read in it, because I was such a comedy nerd, I read everything. So anyway, I asked him that question, and he just looks at me, and he was like, who are you, Kierkegaard?
Shut up.
Yeah. Oh. And then we got into this talk, and
actually,
then his buddy came out, and it was just like a magical moment. And he was like, if you feel like you want to do comedy, it will take all the dedication. But he goes, look, I found love later in life. He goes, it's great. I don't remember everything he said, but I just remember it felt amazing to have somebody you admire really listen to you and give you an honest answer.
Yeah, that is dope.
It was incredible. And that's one day in New York. You go to a Yankees Red Sox game. You get to see Robert Klein, then Seinfeld.
Would you do karaoke with Billy Joel afterwards?
Dude, New York has always been good to me.
Yeah.
Like, I got to meet Bill Murray my first night in New York 2 years ago when I was there for the festival.
Where'd you meet him?
Dude, okay, so Gabriel Iglesias, nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
So he's doing shows for the comedy festival. I had done his Comedy Central show, so a couple of us were going to open up for him at the Beacon. Or he was Gabriel and friends at the Beacon or whatever. So we land in L.A. Ari was already living in New York, and Ari's texting me. He's like, oh, this is so great. I want you to do my storyteller show. We'll hang out. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to meet you. I'll get to the hotel. I'm texting Ari. He's like, are you going to be able to make dinner? I'm like, I'm not going to be able to make dinner. So we meet Ari afterwards, and he's staying at some fancy New York restaurant, some little boutique hotel.
Ari is?
Yeah. It was Ari's agent, whatever cool kid stuff people do. And I'm there with one of Gabriel's managers and a couple of buddies. And we're standing outside the hotel, and a cab pulls up, and Bill Murray just gets out. And Gabriel's manager, Jenny, she goes, that was Bill Murray. And we all were like, it was like seeing a lion.
Yeah.
You just can't imagine. Yeah, you just go, what the?
Yeah.
So we don't even acknowledge it. We just go right back to mid-conversation, like, seeing a UFO or a ghost, you just go, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's easier to go on with life. So now we start talking again, and like 30 seconds later, Jenny's still in shock. She goes, no, guys, that was Bill Murray. We're like, and I look at Ari, and Ari looks at me. I'm like, we got to meet him, right? And he's like, yeah. So now like me and Ari are like leading the pack. We're like the gang leaders of Michael Jackson Beat It. Like everybody's behind us.
Dong, dong.
So you walk dong. In, and it's such a small lobby. Dude, he's right there. He's right where that wall is. Yeah. It was such a tiny little lobby, like cool kid New York place. And he's right there, and he's way bigger than I thought he would be. Bill Murray's like 6'4".
Yeah.
6'3". He's a big dude. And he's right there, and he's like, and we're just stopped. We're this table distance away from him.
Jesus.
And so I look at Ari.
6 feet.
Yeah, and you go, what are we going to? It's like, you got to meet him. So yeah, and Ari's like, yeah. So I take the step, like the step he took in Stripes, where he's by himself. I'm pot committed. Ari doesn't take the step with me. So now I'm already Mr. Murray, and I'm solo.
He can give you a little push in the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I'm by myself. And he just, dude, it's 2 a.m. on a Thursday.
Yeah.
He's checking into a hotel. The last thing he wants to be is bothered by a fan. And his face said that. He turns around. He's just got to look like this. And I'm like, Mr. Murray? I went, yes. I went, I just wanted to thank you. I'll go like this. I go, yeah, I just wanted to thank you. May God bless you and your family for all the laughs and good times you've given me and my family.
That's nice.
Yeah, dude, it was the perfect.
And he's like looking at the hotel, like, call the police right now. He just said, God bless
security.
You. I don't like this at all.
Security. You could, like, his eyes changed, like the energy, and he went, thank you very much. What's your name? And I was like, I'm Steve. He goes, my name's Bill. It's a pleasure to meet you, Steve.
I turned right around.
And I went, I got the handshake from Bill Murray. Yeah. I've been in New York for 3 hours. I love New York.
What if he was like, he goes, what's your name? And you're like, Steve. He's like, Steve, I'm Sean. Great to meet you. And you're like, they're like, that ain't Bill Murray.
Dude, that happened to me 2 days later with Steve Carell.
Nah.
No, that's a true story. So I'm walking down the street. I'm trying to take the bulk bus or one of those buses back to Philly from New York. I'm like, I'm on the East Coast. I'm going to go see family. It's like $5 sometimes to take a bus from New York to Philly. And I'm walking down the street, and they're on the other side of the island where there's like nothing. It's where these buses pull up. And I see a guy, and I'm like, oh, that's Steve Carell. Another one of my favorites. And I'm like, I'm on fire in New York. I'm like, I see Bill Murray. I see Seinfeld. Now I'm going to meet Carell. Why not? It's New York.
Holy shit, that's Rudolph Giuliani. Rudolph? What's his name?
That is.
It
I
is.
Thought we were going to hear some sleigh bells
man,
over there.
You too far away.
You dropped the Rudolph on us.
So anyway, I see Carell, and I'm like, what am I going to say to Carell? So now it's like there's less people, and like I'm kind of following him a little bit. And then so I'm like, and I go, just tell Carell.
And you're like doing that hustle
thing.
Walk behind
yeah,
him, like
yeah, yeah,
trying
yeah.
not to
and
look
he's got
like
his sunglasses on, but I see the nose, and I go, that's Carell. So I'm like, I'll just hit him with the same line I hit Bill Murray with. I'm going to hack it up right here. And I go, excuse me? And he stops. And I go, I just want to thank you. And he goes, for what? It's clearly not Steve Carell's voice. He got so weirded out. He crossed the street. He was like, this dude is crazy.
That's got to be scary.
Oh, yeah. You want to scare somebody?
If you're from out of town, too.
You just tell somebody. You go, I just want to thank you. And they'll go, whoa. Nice. So funny.
For what? The body in my trunk?
So well, funny. Look, I'd like to shift gears for a minute because it is a Christmas episode.
Hell of a transition, right?
And I do want to talk about Christmas, though. I mean, I know we're having fun and everything.
Is this your favorite holiday?
Yeah.
I feel like we could guess that, not only because of the Santa Claus and everything,
yeah.
but it's also a very, obviously, a religious holiday. You're a good Catholic Man. Boy. You still cross yourself when you pass churches, and you just cross yourself when I called the... The holy
cross
water.
Himself on a fire truck goes by.
Yeah. Do you on a fire truck?
Yeah,
too?
Pray for the people in it.
Ambulance, too?
Yeah, the people.
What about
that are...
cop cars?
Yep,
that's nice of you, dude. What about security vehicles?
Nope.
The yellow flashing lights. What about parking enforcement?
But I know you come from a big family of brothers and stuff, and I do too. And
well, yeah, the Black Pals, man.
Big Black Pals, bro. But like, I remember those Christmases where, like, right now, I ask my daughter what she wants, and she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, but then I'll get a list of shit from school way too. Like, I just got it the other day. I'm like, this is nothing I got, you know?
Yeah.
So
did she make a list in her classroom? Is that what it was?
Yeah, they make a list in the classroom. Okay. And then I remember, like, we just couldn't sleep.
No.
You couldn't sleep, but no. You had to go to fucking
sleep. That Christmas
sleep.
Eve was impossible.
And
to sleep.
The anxiety of trying to get to sleep, because if you don't, you're not going to get fucking presents.
Yep.
And then there were times where we'd wake up 2 in the morning, and now I realize, like, our parents were fucking exhausted. So they were never going to wake up, and we would sneak down, and we would just tear, like, underneath where they take just enough. Like, I think this is an action figure. You know, we'd be telling each other over there. But you would see the bike.
The scouting mission. The scouting mission. You'd go down the steps with your brother and be like, oh, my God, he came. He came?
Yep.
Okay, we got to get mom and dad.
And you got to be quiet. Yep. Yeah, quiet, excited.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
But this is before we woke up. This is it's a scouting mission, like you said, but it's before my parents woke up. This was, yes, he definitely came.
Yep.
There's a bunch of shit down there. And like, we'd be a little bit bitter too with our younger brother. Like, you got a bike? Looks like I got one fucking present and some bullshit over there. But yeah, we would sneak down because they left the lights on all night, the trees on.
Magical.
And you're running down there, and we would poke little holes and just try to get a glimpse of what we got.
The great, and the Christmas tree lights flickering off the wrapping paper. It looked
awesome.
Magical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time going down. We got, you know, we have like different spots. Who's sitting on the couch? Who's got the chair? Who's got the small couch? Get the fire going. Always getting the fire. That'd be the first thing we do is get the fire going.
Wow, you guys had a real fireplace?
Yeah.
Lucky ducky. I remember thinking, like, how's Santa going to show up if we don't have a fireplace?
Oh, my daughter asked that too.
He's magic, buddy.
That's what I said. Yep.
This, I just said, I go, we're just going to let him in the front door. He gets busy, man. He's going to be quick. I'm like, okay. But like you know, there were four of us, and my mom's wrapping Christmas gifts and setting it all up from Santa, because you got the regular ones from her. And I remember going upstairs trying to get her and like shaking her, and she wouldn't wake up. And then I remember taking my eyes and peeling her eyelids open. You know what I mean?
Like, you're spreading it
like
open.
Tom and Jerry.
Like you're widening a picture on your iPhone now, you know?
Yeah.
And her fucking squeezing as hard as she could to close them again. And I was like, man, she is really out. She is out. Like, I just thought she was dead to the world. She was just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Get me some, because this is probably 5 a.m., you know?
Yeah, that's it. And that was probably as long as you could wait. You're like, hey, lady, let's go. It's 5 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm up.
We would do recon missions and get ones under the tree, bring them up to our room.
Oh, you would take them.
And then we'd open them.
I was always afraid of that.
We would open them. We would open them and rewrap them. Me and my brother. But we got that. All right, wrap that back up. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
How'd you know? You knew where she hid the wrapping paper, or you just opened them nicely?
And nicely. Then yeah. And then you tuck them back under the tree. Yeah. She's not going to go check and see, you know?
Did you
see if the tape had moved? She's not going to go into with a forensic kit.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I don't remember. I was never a snooper, even in life. Like, I didn't go through my father's personal shit, closet, dresser, and everything until he died.
Yeah.
Never.
Same here.
I shared a room with my brothers. I never took their clothes, went in their dresser, you know what I mean? Nothing. Yeah. I was just never that way. So I don't ever remember, like, looking for gifts. But there was one year, as my mother did this, she was so pissed that we were eating so much. There's three kids growing that one of the, I just can't believe I just remember this. I've never fucking said this. It snowed and we had the boat. So she went out and took the cold cuts and the Kool-Aid, everything that was in the fridge, and packed it in the snow so that we couldn't fucking eat it or drink it. And we just went
out. What was it for?
Just, she was tired of us eating. You're eating me out of house at home. We're like, we're three fucking kids. Like, yeah, we are hungry. So she did not want us to eat. So that punishment was, there is no food. And then I was like, wait a minute. It's out here, guys. It's out here. In the boat, bro.
People are walking their dogs being like, look at these kids scavenging for food. They're like squirrels.
Just eating cold cuts in the back of a snowy boat. On a trailer in the driveway.
And they're
snowy rock
boat.
Driveway.
The snowy
bro.
Boat kids are out there.
We didn't even have asphalt. It was a
snowy boat. Snowy boat is such a great term.
We were in a snowy boat, bro.
It's a snowy boat.
So
game.
What I'm trying to get at is, did you guys ever like look for gifts ahead of time, and did you find them? I never did.
Yes.
There was nothing worse than finding them ahead of time and being like, now I ruined my own surprise.
I didn't give a shit.
You still were excited and
shit? No, I just find them. I even as a kid, I never really got excited. Like, I don't get fazed by things. You know what I mean? Like, if, you know, if a small world thing happens and I meet someone in Europe who knows someone, I don't really get fazed. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just kind of the way it happens.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, we had an attic, and it wasn't really an attic. It was, like, this door off my mom's room that went into, like, this crawl space, you know, and that's where she would hide
stuff. That was the stash.
But she had a lock on it.
But I found the key.
A lock.
Dude, I found kids that are key. Amazing.
Found you
key.
Find, dude, I knew everything going on in that house. I was up earliest every day and to sleep the latest, even as the youngest. You know what I mean? Like, I knew everything going on. It's so funny. I told Adam, Kate, and Holland, I'm like, I go, dude, I always knew what my mother made, like, money-wise. And he's like, you did? I'm like, yeah, I'd ask her. I'm like, how much money you make? This was, like, when I was 9.
Yeah.
You're like, I wanted to know how much she made. And he goes, yeah, I can see that about you. But, like, I found the key, and I remember going in there and finding this Lego castle set. You know, like, the yellow castle.
Wow.
And we have
how old were you?
You know, like 9 or 10 or something like that. But it wasn't going to me.
They're fucking getting keys made and shit down at the locksmith over here. This guy.
And then you double that.
I'm gonna leave that
key
where
it is. Barack is putting it in clay. Get a key for the car. TC's in a helicopter. You're hanging off of it. We got to check and see if we got the Legos.
Lego tucked under his arm and shit.
Hey, face is down there right now.
Congratulations, Jay. You just hired the A team.
My brother got it. Was for my brother though. Like you didn't know who's for.
That's what I was about to ask. How did you know if it was for you or
that
not?
Was for him. And it's funny because now we have this like we have this thick coffee table Lego book. It's the history of Legos that our neighbor gave us that Reed loves. Reed will sit there and just read it by himself. I mean, you know, go through and look at it and stuff like that. And that yellow castle is in there. And
is
I tell
really?
Him all the time, I'm like, that's Uncle Adam had that castle. And he's like, can I get that castle? I'm like, well, that's vintage now, buddy. You, you know how much we're going to have to pay for that castle now?
Are vintage Legos a thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can still buy, like, we got him, I hope he ain't listening, but we got him his
Don't
big,
you mean S-A-N-T-A?
Yeah. This is from Santa for him. But we got, each of them got one big gift. You know, and his is a police, the police.
Legos?
The Lego police station.
Oh, yeah.
He got. So he got, he
that
has.
And I'll bet you today you can put a battery in something, the lights will go and everything else, or they just keep it true
this
Lego.
Is, yeah, this is the Lego. Is but, so he has the fire station that he sold all his trains on Craigslist, and with the money was able to buy his
Who?
Fire station. Reed.
No,
I mean, I did
he?
It for him.
Right.
He's 4. But when he wanted that...
He could understand that concept?
I told him he wanted the police... He wanted the fire station. It's $100 for that. Yeah. And I said to him, like, listen, but if we're going to get that, you have all these trains, and I know you're starting to like Legos, but if we're going to transition, you're going to have to sell all your trains. And he goes, okay. And I go, all right, line them all up on the dining room table. We lined all the trains, all the tracks up, and I go, here, help me. He helped me take pictures, and I go, I'll put these up online somewhere and someone can buy them and we'll take that money. And it took like 3 days. I put a post on Craigslist and I said, these are my son's trains. I told him if he wants to get Legos, he needs to sell these. I want to teach him about capitalism and what it means to like want something. And this guy came and he's like, man, I love what you're doing with this. He goes, I'm down $50. I mean, the fire station was 100. We grabbed the other half of it, but I was like, you know.
That's awesome.
He sold them all. He came home from school that day and I go, guess what? And he goes, what? I go, sold your trains. He goes, I get my fire station now. And I go,
awesome.
This weekend, we'll go. This
that
weekend.
That is so
we
awesome.
We went, he bought it. And then, like, you know, that was like, almost a year ago now. So he was, like, he was 3 when we did that.
Wow.
So when, about a month ago, he goes, I miss my trains. And I go, listen, if you want, we can sell this fire station and buy your trains. And he goes, okay. And I looked at Kate and I'm like, if we do that, we're the worst financial investors of all time. We're taking a $50 hit every time.
Every time.
But so he got that, and we got River like a dollhouse. So they're each going to have like a big ticket
big
item.
Yeah, that's the way to do
and
it.
And that's theirs, yeah.
The it's big ticket item.
And that right. He asked for that specifically. And like he's been talking about it for like 2 months. You know what I mean? Because it's in that Lego book. Oh, so anyway, the bottom line is I looked online and I searched for this police station and I found a guy on Craigslist who's selling it. And he's like, yeah, I got it. It's in the best shape. It's unopened. is the cheapest price you're going to find. And I have to go meet him in Encino. And it was like $115 for the police station. But it's the old one. It's like the vintage one.
Whoa.
But like the new one is $100 online. And we just got him the new one.
Oh. So cool.
You know, I was like, we're not that into it that I'm going to start buying vintage sets.
Yeah.
Right
now.
Yeah. Unless it was like
because kids also are fickle. Like, oh, yeah. They'll love Legos for 3 months and then they don't want to touch them ever again.
Well, what I wanted to ask you guys, do your kids ever say this is what they want? Like, oh, I need to get this Lego station. And then 2 days before Christmas, they're like, all right, we got to get a note to Santa. If I don't get a Chewbacca, it's going to be over.
I don't know. I mean, this is pretty much he's been asking. And we didn't make a – he made us a list like a month ago, and then we've never talked about it since. We just keep – last night he goes, can we open a present? I go, no, we don't open presents now. He goes, but just one. What if we just open one from Nana and Papa? I'm like, we'll open those on – I go, Christmas Eve, you can open one gift.
That's
we do
cool.
one gift. That was our thing growing up as kids. We always open one, and then my Nana would be like, go ahead and get another one.
Yeah.
Did you do that, one gift on Christmas Eve?
No, we were a straight-up Santa family. Where you're like, well, either
Santa family.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Comes or he doesn't, man.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And there was that anxiety, like, I hope.
Did your family put, like, if your Aunt Shirley sent a gift, did they, I don't remember if
you
they put those
it.
On it.
Auntie Shirley!
I don't remember if they put those on it. You know what I mean? Like,
most, well, dude, I grew up.
I did just let my daughter open a gift from my uncles because they let their kids open. I was like, you want to open? I go, you get to open one. She's like, okay. But she always wants two. And I'm like, look, that's what I'm working on with her. Like, what is it? You get what you get, and you don't get upset. You know, like that's the.
Oh, that's a good expression.
Yeah.
You guys are good parents.
Well,
you should have used that expression on your buddy in the wheelchair. Listen, man, you get what you get.
Could you?
No one's going to help you.
Jesus. What's wrong with
you? Like, don't use the Lord's name in vain.
Don't do that.
I wish Santa would be like, making a list. And be like, oh, somebody made the naughty list.
Well, you know what I did the other night? We were sitting down to dinner, and Reed was like playing with toys, and I'm like, Santa just texted me. He's flying overhead, checking to see if everyone's eating their dinner.
Running back.
Right up to the chair. I'll call Santa right now. Like, when they're, like, misbehaving.
I remember those calls.
I do my phone gig, and I walk down the hall. I'm like, hey, Santa. And they're like, no, Dad, don't. We'll get in the bath. I'm like, all right. Nah, it's false alarm. All right, we'll see you on the 25th.
We'll see you the 25th.
All right.
I do the same thing.
Chip,
I call Santa. I call his helper. She's like, I'm like, I'll get his elves on the phone right now, and I'll make something up. I go, Larry.
Listen,
you need
elf.
To tell Santa. She's hey, like, Dad, no, Dad. She does the same thing. Runs right to it. But I, especially as a parent now, though, but I still love Christmas. My whole place is decorated. I have a real tree. Like the whole I put lights out on the balcony and we turn those.
You really go all the way.
Go all the way, bro.
Woo! He's like, shit, man. I put gifts under the tree. I put ornaments on it. I mean, I do all.
Yeah, like I don't like I love Christmas. But
we baked cookies the other night.
That's what I like, dude. I need a family. Because that's what,
that's
you
what
need,
I've been
bro.
Telling you. I've been telling
you.
You
know what I mean?
Be
because
best dad in the world.
Because it's like that's what you like. That's the Christmas.
You're yearning to take care of someone. You need to have a family.
And I want to do the Clark Griswold. I'd love to do the lights and all that stuff.
Yeah, I remember unpacking everything and like we had like it would be like a little church that had like snow on it.
I just remember the
intricate little things, the way it smelled, and
we had a
I
big
loved
Santa
decorating.
Face that would hang on the front door.
Yeah, like everyone
like the
had their
3D thing.
You know what I got right now?
We had a manger set up.
I have two, and I want to get one more. I want three. Maybe like throughout the years, I'll just start collecting one at a time. But I got the old ceramic Christmas trees with the little lights.
I got
that.
Nice.
I got two of them. Yeah.
I got one of those.
Yeah, it's the best.
And the other thing I
leave it out all year though.
That's cool.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
why
I don't
not
do that.
Have a little Christmas all year?
I buy new ornaments every year for my daughter, and I write on the bottom like what year it is.
Yeah.
But like, and we're already just, and sometimes I'll buy two, and already in just a small amount of time, plus people give them as gifts.
Yep.
Like, our tree's starting to fill up with, you don't have to have balls and shit all over the goddamn thing.
Yeah, that's the best. You buy that starter kit of ornaments that you leave in there. You know what we used to do is my Aunt Rue had a baller Christmas tree. Because she, my two great aunts, Auntie Rue and Auntie Gert, lived together for 90 years.
Awesome.
Neither of them ever married. They took care of each other. But what they did, instead of having a family, is they traveled. Every year they would go away to either Italy, Europe, Switzerland, but they always bought Christmas ornaments. So their tree was fucking dope.
I bet. That is bad.
They had amazing ornaments. And every year what we got to do is like 3 weeks before Christmas or whenever they put their tree up, we went over there one night and everyone got to take – we got one ornament to go put on our tree.
Oh,
but
wow.
But there were certain ones that were off limits, like the castle. The castle that they got, that was off limits. You couldn't take that.
He's got the castle.
Hey, you put that goddamn castle down.
That's not the Disney castle. That's the real castle that Disney castle is inspired by.
Yeah, they were always like, you know.
But I remember like holiday ornaments that were like weird shit, like trombones with the doves on them.
Yeah.
Dude, my
French horn was big.
Mice dressed like
Santa Claus with a Santa hat or something.
Yeah, or
From the Nutcracker.
But they're mice.
I know. Yeah. They're mice in the Nutcracker.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Did you ever have the one where like you pulled the string and the guy's like,
Yeah, the Nutcracker.
Or like his legs would go.
Yeah. And we had the Elf on the Shelf. But it was just a fucking elf back then. I tell everybody this. Like,
what's it now?
Well, this mom and this daughter came up with the whole story behind it. It's magic. You don't fuck. So when I go into Stella's room to pick her up from school, they'll show. She'll be like, "Dad, the elf moved." I'm like, where is she today? It's a she in their room. She's up there. And I'm like, let me go up there and see. And they're like, don't touch her. Like, they freak out because the thing is, if you touch it, it loses its magic powers. I'm like, she looks a little crooked. And these kids will fucking.
No.
They're like, don't touch it. They go nuts, dude. I'm like, you sure? Because I'll straighten it. Oh, they go.
It's
they
like
shit themselves.
Bart, go for the ball. And everybody's going, no.
I give all those little kids anxiety in that room when I come pick her up. Like, that's where, right? So,
oh, that's so funny.
But it was an elf that looked just like that, but you just threw it in a wreath or some shit, you know, and it just sat there.
Yeah, my grandmother had all kinds of elves.
Yeah, I mean, we had, my dad had it was his father's, and my brother still has it actually, but it was a real train. Old was my grandfather's world, you know, from World War II era, and you drop the coal pebbles in it and it would smoke. And I remember the Stella's got this little hair dryer thing, and you and I smelled it, and it smelled like electronics. Mm-hmm. Remember that smell?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It took me back, and I was like, I tell her, I go, this smells like electronics. And she's like, it smells like electronics. I'm like, That old Tyco fucking trigger when you were doing the tracks and the smell of that. I remember all of it, man.
The best when you did
the smell of joy.
Yeah, was when you like you pressed just fast enough. You could feel when it's going to go off the track. Yeah. Like, that's too quick.
Wow.
You'll like this. My father-in-law, this is probably 7 or 8 years ago. He took his old. So my father-in-law's dad owned a toy store for a little while. And then he went out of business. So they had a lot of toys. I mean, he lived in a one-bedroom with his parents. He slept in like a nook in the living room in the Bronx. But his dad tried to get a toy store off the ground. It didn't work out. Anyway, he had this train set that was his dad's. And, you know, the old heavy one.
Yeah, the metal ones.
Yeah. And he
Lionel.
He put like 3 to 5 grand into fixing it for this Christmas.
Wow.
So we get there for Christmas, like 4 days before Christmas, and he's like, JJ, can you come down to the garage with me? And I go, yeah, and what do you got? And he had this giant, giant piece of plywood that he was going to lay out in the living room.
Wow.
So we bring it up the stairs, and my mother-in-law's like, that's not going in my living room! And he's like, it's going. And he lays this out, not to go around the tree, but we set the whole train up. He gets it all dialed in. It takes him like 3 days to get it all ready, and Christmas morning, we're there. You know, we don't have kids yet. His other grandkids come over, and he's like, I'm going to get this going for these kids. He sits down next to it, turns on the train. There it goes, this beautiful, heavy train going around the track. And his face looked
pure joy.
And his grandson is looking at it, and he can't believe it. It's just amazing Christmas moment. And the grandson reaches out and grabs it. Breaks the train, never worked again.
Oh my God, how old was he? Like 3 or something?
He's like maybe 3 or 4. And my father-in-law sat next to that train set for a solid hour and a half.
Half of it's
morning.
The
morning.
So this is Christmas.
what have you done?
My grandfather had his trains in the basement. It was the only time he was ever happy.
Right? Yeah.
And the smell of that liquid smoke.
Come on, man.
He had the ice rink that lit up and the mountains. And he had the skiers.
Where did he have it? Was it on the floor? Or did he have it
raised? He had a raised platform.
Had a real ski lift.
Yeah. Dude, it was the greatest. All old school stuff.
Who were like the kids that when you were growing up with, like, were you going sledding all the time? Did you shovel driveways?
Oh, yeah. That's how I bought my skateboards.
Yeah.
You could make $50 as a 12, 13-year-old kid.
Who would you shovel with?
Jason Showers, the kid that lived down the street, or my younger brother.
You're not
going
to fucking believe this. Jason Showers! Bring your shovel, man. We got some driveways.
We used to shovel. I just told Stella about this, and I have said this before, too, but like being a dad now and then looking back on, like, I don't know how our parents did it. I mean, I know none of us grew up with money. No. And you have all these kids. Maybe shit was cheaper back then, but I don't think
so. It wasn't.
And, like, that living room that we had before it all went to hell, I will never forget that. The tree was a real tree. My dad, there was a couple times, I've said this before, we went and got a real tree. And
it's
you
the
kept,
greatest. The
you
smell.
Kept the roots intact, though. And in a burlap sack.
Oh, you had one of those fancy trees, and then you could plant it?
It wasn't fancy. It was just a tree that you didn't cut down. You know, you just kept it alive. You just dug it up from the roots on a farm. You know, yeah. You go cut it up.
Man, those roots extended all the way into the down the hallway.
Well, I'll tell you what those roots did. He planted two of them, and we had a basement, mid-level, top level, and up to a point. It was a big fucking house. And I just drove by those trees this past summer, and I showed my daughter. I go, your grandfather planted those trees right there.
Wow.
They tower over that. They're pine trees. They're real.
Wow.
You know,
that's awesome.
We're talking about.
That's such a great tradition.
40 years later, 35, 40, I mean, they're monsters. And I was like, wow. And one of them's like a blue, beautiful blue that you don't see, and it's in that yard. You know what I mean? So. And
know
we had
it was the Christmas joy that, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's the Christmas tree. That's so
cool. I
want
to go by one time and just hang one fucking ornament on them and bounce. I mean, my dad had.
Oh, boy, you almost took Stevie down.
You almost
took him down with that one.
I
want to
do it. Because my dad,
set my castle! Get that goddamn castle!
We had a fireplace. We had a brick mantle. Like, it was just beautiful. But the fireplace didn't heat the house enough. It just heated that room. So my dad got an old school wood burning stove.
Okay.
And it was the kind like big black, like almost looked like an old school hot tub. You know those soak tubs that the NFL players sit in, those old metal ones. And it had a handle that was a circle on top, and you picked it and you spun it around. You would have loved it, and you just threw fucking logs in that bitch. You didn't have to cut them. You know, they just
eat up.
And I remember being a kid up in bed sweating. Like, that thing worked real well. It was before we figured out how many logs you put in there to heat the whole goddamn house. We're like,
that's where the math got worked
out. I think something might be wrong down there.
That smells like bacon. Your tootsies are just sizzling.
And I think it'd be funny if you went to go put an ornament on that tree, like brought Stella's, like a tradition. The family came out like, excuse me. And you're like, oh, you know what? We used to live here, and this was our Christmas tree. My dad planted it, and you know, he passed when I was young. And they're like, how'd he die? And you're like, well, I killed him. I took a wrong turn.
Well, the funny thing is, the family that moved in after us was a kid who I'm friends with on Facebook that I went to high school with. And I posted a picture of those trees, and he saw it. And he said, you know, my parents are still there. If you ever want to go in and take a tour. And
dude,
I don't know
incredible.
If I'm ready for it yet, to be honest. I would love to do it. I
know who's
not
ready for it. Steve Simone.
I want to do it with my daughter, though. I want to walk her through and be like, I was your age when in this house.
You should go with your daughter and your brother and his kids and all of
you. It would be fun.
I always wanted to buy the house I grew up in. Go back and buy that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many memories, and I bet everything's so much smaller.
I thought of that too. Yes. That's
so much smaller.
I thought about getting my grandmom's. You know what? I want to say a special thank you to a close friend of mine, Eric Snyder, because when my grandmother
died.
You're
not going to believe this, Steven.
Eric Snyder!
When my grandmother died, he really liked her and she really liked him. And we just, like I said, we kept her house to look like it did. And I went down, I told my brother.
Doilies.
We're going to, all of it. Hummels, everything. I dusted Hummels, man. I was like, it doesn't matter if this is our house in the will. This is grandma's fucking house.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I was like, we're going to fucking decorate like grandma. My grandmother decorated all the time. The lighted garland down the handrail. And I knew. I loved Christmas.
Too.
So I went up in the attic and I pulled everything out, and I went down in the basement, I pulled everything out, and I was like, and we're putting Grandpap's trains fucking up too. We're doing that. So my friend, Eric Snyder, without even asking him or anything, shows up one day with a huge plywood platform, and we fucking put it down, and we fucking gave those trains one last fucking ride. They hadn't been ridden in so long. They hadn't been used or anything. We dropped the coal balls in them, went to like an old train store and found it. And dude, that thing was humming. It was a, and it was the big black box that had the two handles.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking
about?
You connect the wires to it. Yeah, that.
I forgot about that.
It was awesome, dude.
And did it have the thing on the side to make it?
Yep.
Yes, the gear shifter thing.
And you'd sit there, and basically the Tyco trigger, but here, you know,
yeah,
that was
totally
the modified. And yeah, we gave those old trains a fucking run for the whole and all.
They're gonna hop the track. My grandfather had a cigar. They're gonna hop the track.
All the neighbors would come over and be like, "I cannot believe you kids did this." And we're like, "Yeah." And it looked fucking awesome. I was stoked to be able to do that. That was the last Christmas in that house for us.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I wonder what happened to my grandfather's trains.
My grandmother sold all my grandfather's. I remember him having, like, I remember, you know, because he died when I was five. And I remember being, like, in his workshop, because that's, like, you know, he could build trains.
Wow.
He built. Dude,
is that
he,
where you get it from?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I tried. He was more of an engineer brain. Like, he made a camera.
What?
You know
Jesus.
What I mean? When he was 12, he built a camera.
12?
And used to show movies in his basement. He would charge kids in the neighborhood to, like, come in and watch movies and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's charging?
Yeah, he used to just, according
hilarious.
To my mom. But he used to, I mean, dude, my grandfather applied for the patent to put sound to film.
Oh,
that's
my
that's right.
Gosh.
Your mom told that story.
Yeah.
Missed it by one dude.
By one guy.
Who
yeah.
then she met his son later in
yeah.
life in like on a vacation in like
no.
Europe or some shit. I have it wrong.
Yes. He came, he was like he's a camera guy, and they were doing a piece for Chronicle, which is a local Boston show at Boston, at Harvard with a dance program. My mom was in dance program and took the crew out to dinner before they had the shoot, and they started talking. This guy was like, that was my dad.
Oh, my God.
That who got That's it. He it. Was working for, like, BASF in France.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, that was my grandfather. He had – so he in his basement, he, like, you know, it was a regular – unfinished basement that he finished, so like wood paneling and everything and like shag carpet, and then he had his workshop, and he had a little tiny 2x2 flip door like window, and the reel to reel was in that room, and he would show Star Wars like in the living room, and you could just see the light in that back room where he'd be smoking cigarettes in there and show us. I mean, I was like 4 and 5. That's I barely remember it, but it might also
so
be like
cool.
my idea of him being back there, but up there in like the rafters, like where his train tracks and the BB gun. I remember
all the
yeah.
fun stuff.
Yeah.
That's like
all
a,
the
that's
good
the, all the yep. good stuff.
And we used yep. to go in there and like get that stuff. And you know, after he passed, like most of my memories were being in that house. He was gone. But then when my Nana sold that house, I think all that stuff just like went away somewhere. I don't, you know, who knows? We never like were setting up a train track when you know I was like
right.
six and shit,
right?
Because we didn't know how that stuff worked, you know. My favorite thing on the holiday too is the food, because you like cooking so much thing happens around it. Cooking, what is it? You're Italian, so do you do the seven fishes?
We're doing that this year. That's why I'm flying in to make sure to do that, but we're gonna go to a restaurant for it.
Oh really?
Yeah. And then like lasagna
sometimes.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
Like we'll do the turkey.
I gotta be
and
shipped in.
The you're getting what
Dude.
Shipped in?
I'm getting crab cakes, crab soup, cream of crab soup, crab dip, crab pretzels, stuffed shrimp.
Crab pretzels?
Food. Where are you getting a chip
Everybody
from?
Sleep from Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
Oh, that's
Shout out
great.
To Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Yeah, man. They do like get large gift boxes and stuff like that.
And where are you cooking?
Just in my place.
Nice.
You just I mean, it's already, most of it's done. You just cook. Well, it's prepared and then you cook it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That sounds amazing.
But we did that. That's what I've said on here a lot. Like, I didn't realize, because everyone in my family is Italian, so it didn't matter if I went to my grandmother's, either grandmother's, or if I went to my Aunt Marguerite's or Aunt Helen's on my dad's side, or if I went to my Aunt Mary's on my mom's side. Like, everyone had ham, turkey, whatever, plus lasagna, stuffed shells, meatballs, all of that. So when I first went to someone else's house, and they fucking, I'll never forget that girl's mom poured some kind of liquor on a fucking dessert and lit that
Flambated.
Bitch on fire. And I was like, what god do you all worship? Like, Jesus Christ. Who's your Jesus?
Oh, that's Lord. So funny. Oh, my God. I forgot. You guys ever have Italian, like, rum cake?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We'd get those at Christmas, where it'd be like the custard layer in the middle and the almonds on the I need to get. I'm getting that
cookies,
in Philly.
Those thin like waffle like
the pizzelles.
Almost
the pizzelles.
Taste, yeah, they're pizzelles.
Yeah, it tastes like licorice.
My aunt
to me.
Makes them.
Still,
she had the maker. No, she's dead, right?
Oh.
my grandfather's sisters used to make them. Yeah. We'd be like,
Auntie Rue always made the pizzelles.
Is Aunt Rosie making these? No, these are Aunt Mimi's.
Yeah, the best. So, I still get them every time I go home to Boston, the North End. I get pizzelles, and now once in a while I get them at Whole Foods because they have them. The anise, those are the ones that take like they do vanilla or anise or anise. I like those.
Yes.
But the one thing I'm getting for this Christmas is custard pie. I have to have a custard pie, and no one ever cares about that. That's the one thing I get. I go to Marie Callender's and I get it, and then I make my aunt little shrimp dip for me and my bro.
Yeah, that's
because my brother's gonna be out here do Ritz crackers, straight up Ritz. And like when I made it last year, when my brother came out, and he hadn't had it since my aunt Lil was around.
Yeah,
and he took a bite and he just like, holy shit. Like, you just took me right back.
Taste the memories. It's a time machine.
Taste and smells and
fucking hell.
I've never had a bad time having pizza, ever. That's probably why I love to eat it so much. I've never had a bad time having pizza. But I try to keep the tradition. Have you?
Yeah, I burned the entire roof of my mouth off once with a piece of pizza.
Still I was choked to death, buddy. Did I ever tell you that story? 1,000 times. Yeah. 1,000 times.
That's what you always say.
I still try to keep the tradition going to an extent. I'll always make one dish. Italian dish for Christmas. Like, if I'm going to someone's house, I'm like, I'm bringing manicotti. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? But I'll tell you, there was something that shifted too that was different. Like, after my father died, and we had to live with my grandmother, like, the one thing that never it was always, we're going to grandma. You should never have to live with your grandparents. Yeah. Hopefully, you don't have to. You want to go visit them because everything, all the smells change, the feeling changes when you live there, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember going to her house and just the smell of garlic and sauce and everything in the air. And then when I lived with her, when she would do that she'd started, you know, I finally got to see behind the scenes of the prep that went into these meals that I'd go to, and I couldn't sleep. It smelled so fucking good.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm like, God, my stomach's just rumbling. I'm dipping bread in the sauce late at night and shit.
That
like,
is the
trying
greatest.
To sneak the in best. There, but everything's creaking and shit.
When I made that roast chicken last night and that rosemary bread, Kate got home and I had like the meal like timed out.
Perfect.
And she was like, it smells insane. I went to light a candle. I'm like, man, lighting that candle smells like roast chicken and rosemary bread in this bitch.
God, food makes it.
Crushed it. I mean, there's nothing negative that really happens at Christmas. You know what I mean? I mean, bad things are going to happen. You just got to get through them.
Well,
that's the worst thing that can happen.
It's a homeboy, Steve Cantwell's story was a fucking Christmas story.
I can't believe you said this.
Stevie Cantwell! Get on in here!
Stevie Cantwell!
Say hello.
Hey, how's it going, man?
All the way from Houston, baby.
Right up to the last second.
A final call out from the back room. Do you guys know each other?
No, we've never
Steve
met.
Cantwell. Steve Simone. Steve Simone.
Do that.
Steve Cantwell.
Wait, come on over here. Simone didn't know that we were going to surprise him with Cantwell. And Ryan and I, when we figured out that we're going to be able to do this, that Steve was willing to come in from Houston.
So cool.
We were like, you know what's funny is Kate actually said to me, she's like, wait, does Steve Simone know that Cantwell's coming in? I'm like, yeah, I think we're going to tell him just so like, we can like organize. She's like, well, no. That'll be the best is surprising him.
Yeah, I couldn't believe because you guys were always feel like, oh, Cal Ripken. Hey, Cal Ripken. Eddie Murray.
Matter of fact, Eddie Murray. Good.
Bring your gold gloves, man.
We talked about it because, like I said, we were going to do just us as the final episode. And then, so now here we go. So we had 10 final episodes. Really, we'll include Kirkman in that. So how many guests do we really have? Because it was only going to be 9 with just us ending, right? So now we actually had 11, 12 guests over the final 10, 11 episodes. Yeah. Really nice to do that.
Well, and you know what? To be fair, Josh Admires really wasn't a top 10, so that kind of balances everything out.
He can't get him off. He can't do it.
So Stevie Cantwell, what's up, man?
So nothing real quick.
Up, wait, yeah. I want to say one thing before Steve Simone's going to stick around with us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
I want to hear this.
You want to stay here with us because you don't know his Christmas story.
No.
So on this podcast, I just believe for me, the most crazy, interesting, intense, insane story. Steve can't end well. Every story he tells does not end well. Steve can't end well's Christmas story is right there. And Jay and I were talking about it, and we were like, you know, everyone.
Can I just say one thing to Steve Simone about Steve Cantwell? The reason that is also such an amazing story is because one of his other stories that he shared was how a guy he worked with admitted to him that he killed his mother-in-law, and he went into witness protection, had to move to Alaska.
That's true.
My God.
He got into business with a dude, and the guy kept telling him, I killed my mother-in-law, and he's like, huh? So he hired a detective, and it turned out he really did, and the guy was like an ex-military badass, so he and his family had to move to Alaska and witness protection.
And guess who we got as a surprise right here?
That would be the perfect. That would end with a car chase.
But dude, we kept seeing the, you know, because not everyone can keep up every week. So we kept seeing the names roll in, and Simone and you, Cantwell, were both at the top. And so we were like, fuck it. His story's a Christmas story. Let's see if we can get Simone. You were available, and let's see if you'll come in from Houston. You said you'd do it.
Yes, sir.
And you knew everything, obviously. So. And we weren't sure. I was like, do we really ever call someone out from the back room? So to be able to fucking do it.
So
we slipped it in right at the fucking end, bro.
Yeah.
It was a great surprise.
That's such an honor.
I told you we had some.
Unfortunately, it's all the time we have.
That might be the longest you've ever waited to do that. I know the feasters were waiting for that. We had something in Sandy's old sack for you. I told you, Sandy Claus had a little something special. So welcome back to the Crab Feast, Steve Cantwell.
Thank you,
it
guys.
It is a pleasure to have you back here.
What a crazy ride this show has been.
Yeah, you reminded us that you actually, I forgot, because we did the Houston Festival at the end. And the reason we even know Steve is a comedian from Houston who... was volunteering to give rides to
Hold
and from the festival, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we were doing a live episode at the Come and Take It Comedy Festival, and Steve
right
picked me up at the airport, and literally 2 minutes into the ride, I looked at him, I go, hey, man, I can't guarantee this, but do you want to do our live podcast tomorrow? I think you're a slam dunk. And I texted Ryan, I'm like, I think I got our guest for the podcast, because we were just going to get there. I'm like, look at all the people on there.
We had Dan Van Kirk scheduled, but then they scheduled his pod, Hindsight, at the same time, and we didn't have a guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And luckily, we got Steve, and it was like, it was unbelievable.
So we do the live show in Houston. We get a standing ovation at the end of it, and we were at the tip of the iceberg with this dude. So then he came out. We did a part two. I was telling Steve, I think he's the only two-part guest we've ever had.
Wow.
He's the only call-out from the back room we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of firsts and onlys on the Crab Feast here. Actually.
He's only... Yeah. Key witness in a murder trial.
That's true, too. That's true, too. So, yeah, man, welcome back. And that's how we know Steve.
Outside of Christmas, I mean, you also grew up Mormon.
But you said you kicked this. You are the first episode of this year, right? Your first and last? You bookended in 2018?
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
How about that?
And if you went back the 8 years in your Salvia trip, you did the very first episode as well.
I want to ask you this. Do you remember any Christmases during the Salvia trip?
Yeah, I remember them just like the regular Christmases.
But were they miserable because you were missing your family?
Yeah,
so
really crazy.
Tell us about it.
I mean, the first couple of Christmases.
I have so many Christmases.
Steve Simone's
Salvia Christmas. If
he
you
told
have any
us
questions,
fascinating.
Right
he told us in the first 2 years... of that Salvia trip, weren't you like crying every day in your living room?
All day, yeah. All day, every day. Because I couldn't figure out how to get back to my family.
Oh my
God.
How many kids do you have?
Four kids.
At that time, did you have four?
Yeah, I had four kids.
Four children. And finally getting to a point where he committed to, okay, everything I thought that was real is fake, and this world is now
And he finally joined a softball league.
That's right. You did.
Did you really join a softball league in the trip?
Yeah, kickball league. Yeah,
kickball.
Oh my God!
He had a cover band. Changed
MVP,
his cable
dude.
Package.
He won the MVP that 1 year.
He got a promotion.
I got a promotion.
People were giving him rides to work and shit.
I was killing it for somebody with brain damage, in their opinion.
So what do you remember about you? You spent what, 8 Christmases in Tyler, Texas, and. Do you remember birthdays and shit too? Like,
yeah,
God,
it was lonely as shit because for the longest time I didn't think any of it was real, and so I didn't continue any of my friendships. So I just kept saying no anytime anybody would want to go do anything. So eventually, I ended up pushing everybody in my life away because I didn't think any of them were real, and I was just waiting for this Salvia trip to end, and so my days were just consumed with crying and trying to figure out a way back.
Wow.
You know.
Like, my manager at the Apple Orchards just cries all the time.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, he worked at an apple orchard in this trip.
Yeah.
Did you, okay, so did you decorate for Christmas?
No, I didn't.
Never got a tree?
For the first 4 years, I didn't. The last...
The second half.
The last one I didn't.
Can't even, like, deal with
it. I'd say that of the 8 years that I spent there, I probably decorated twice, and they were pretty anemic. Never had anybody over to the apartment. It was a shit apartment, you know, and...
What's rent like in an alternate universe?
It was reasonable.
I'm sure it was.
It's good to know they have cable. I'll tell you that, at least.
Did you ever meet any of the people from your trip world back in the real world?
No, none of that exists because I just imagined it on a Salvia trip.
Wow.
So you come out of the trip. He wakes up. So the story is that his neighbor was an old veteran that had smoked marijuana, and Steve was a Mormon who had been clean and his whole life and was now venturing out of not only Mormonism but into some deviant behavior that he described in his episode. And he thought, well, before I make the leap to an illegal drug, let's smoke the legal thing. That's probably
safer.
It's coffee to heroin in his mind. You know what I mean?
When I understand
fucking
the logic,
completely
sure.
opposite thing. So,
I didn't even know what salvia was.
And I was a Mormon pastor at this time. So I was like... so I was not looking to smoke marijuana, but like... You know, salvia isn't in the Book of Mormon. You know, it had snuck in underneath the radar in the Mormon church, and also the army didn't piss test.
Kind of everywhere. Because
everywhere.
It was an over-the-counter thing.
Yeah, I don't even
illegal.
Know what it was.
Yeah.
It's still, we could walk down to the tobacco store and get some right now.
Yes,
it's still legal.
I've told this before, too. I saw it years ago on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. They did a whole special on these kids smoking this plant, and they would put them in a closed room with video cameras, and they would go nuts for, like, you know, fucking 2 minutes, and then they'd be out of it, and they don't remember any of that. But now that I know what he knows, I'm wondering, in watching this clip of these people, what's really going on in there, because they might be living in fucking Tyler, Texas, and working for an apple orchard.
Wow. Yeah.
It's nuts, man.
I'll tell you, for the terminally ill and for people that are incarcerated, it's like a useful drug, because it telescopes time. It makes it so that you can live an entire lifetime. And like you say, like 10 minutes, you know, and there are certain applications that would be useful in. But just you and I doing something recreational, it's just no fun. It just lasts too goddamn long.
So he ends up going out boating with some friends in the Salvador. And he's water skiing, right?
No, I'm walking through a park when I go.
Well, that's when you, but I'm talking about
when I first get there.
So he goes underwater.
Oh, that's right.
And they're like, hey, buddy, you were under for a while. And he's just wakes up on this dock laughing, dying laughing. That's how it started, right?
Yeah, I wake up coughing on a little ski boat out in the middle of a lake. And a bunch of guys around me that I don't know, but they all know me.
But they all know him. So they think he's brain damaged, and he's been under the water a little while. So now they're worried about him. And at the very end of this whole thing, he's going to meet, was it those same friends?
Yeah.
At a park, and he's walking with KFC chicken and just... snaps out of that reality back into the real world.
And all those guys in the Savvy were like, there goes another friend.
Where the fuck's that chicken, bro? Texted him and shit, like, where's our chicken? So wakes up on the floor of this neighbor's house on Christmas Day at his dinner. He's pissed himself. He's crying. That guy, he tells him, don't smoke that shit. That guy's like, I'm not going to. You just went into a seizure on my floor.
Yeah.
He sees his children, and he's just overwhelmed with emotion.
Merry Christmas.
Kissing them and hugging the shit out of them because they've been gone so long.
Like, yeah. A psychedelic It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, totally.
Like, Suzu's pedals. Yeah. Suzu's pedals. Suzu's pedals.
Every time I hear that, I think dice, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
What was Christmas like for you before that?
Before the Salvia trip?
Yeah.
Just very Mormon, very Christian.
Not that day.
What is that
every year? Yeah, what does that mean? What's a Mormon Christmas like?
Just decorate the shit out of things. Too many gifts, you
what
know.
What are 2 minute gifts?
Just spend way too much money.
Oh, you know? Too much.
Just fill the house with gifts.
Yeah.
You know, just make it a big festival that lasts basically from Thanksgiving till Christmas.
Mormons aren't big on money, right? What's
Mormons
the deal?
Mormons are big on money. Mormons love money. They love to save money.
Save money, right.
But they also will go out big on Christmas.
Yeah. And what was Christmas like after that trip? The same?
I mean, by the way, he his wife got him up in the shower. He realized he had shit himself also. Okay.
While toweling off. So I shit a towel at this guy's, at the neighbor's on Christmas.
Just trying to get to know the family better.
The best is 20 years from now, how the kids are going to tell the story from their perspective.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the neighbor came over?
Kids are going to be on podcast talking about the shit we did. Of course they are.
You can imagine the neighbors having that conversation. Man. Oh, he tried to feed my husband poison on Christmas. Yeah.
Hugging the kids excessively. They're like, get the fuck off,
you
Dad.
Still live in that neighborhood? In 8 years.
No. Oh, okay. They don't talk to me anymore.
I was going
to
ask you, did he ever talk to you again after that? I can't remember if we asked you any of this.
He never really. He sort of, you know, when I came back, I got really weird after a while. I started, because I had never really sang before, and so I started to play the piano and sing. I brought him up to my house one time. I said, hey, let me sing you a song. And I had bought this little
after
piano.
The Salvia
this is
incident?
After the Salvia incident.
Trying to sell himself.
Trying to sell myself. So I brought him up there and I sang him, sat him on my couch and I sang him this Elton John song.
Were you playing piano?
Playing the piano and singing it to him. And he looked
horrified. What song?
Why did you do
Rocket Man.
Why did you
sit
do this?
Down. Because so I could. I remembered it from Tyler. And so, and I
was in a cover band.
What was it called again? I was trying to show him that I had really been somewhere and done something, and he didn't believe me. So I said, come up to my house right now. I was talking to him on the phone. So he comes up to my house. I said, and his wife came up with him because I don't think she trusted him around me alone anymore. So I sat them both down on the couch, and I had bought this little Casio keyboard.
Rocket Man!
Yeah, and I just fucking sold it to him, man. I was by my head back howling, you know? And
my God.
And I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Yeah. Rolling.
Could you really play it?
Yeah.
But you really acquired skills in the alternative universe?
Yeah. You didn't sing before the Salvia trip?
No, well, I had a musical theater background, so okay. I sang, but I was Mormon, so I didn't know any songs, really, because you don't... You know, I just didn't have a background.
You're telling
in popular
us you
music.
Learned Rocket Man in the Salvia trip, and you did bring that back.
I brought that back and sat him down.
So he knows the
days.
Whole story.
He knows the whole story. I
he
told
sat
him,
and listened.
He did not believe me. He did not.
He
believe
also
me.
Makes a hell of an eggs Benedict. Now.
You sang Rocket Man. He was like, "Fuck this crazy motherfucker."
No, yeah, he had a look on his face like he was like I invited him up there to watch me masturbate, and so
he just, which you essentially were.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, "Give me one of these Tyler apples. I'm getting the fuck out of here, y'all."
And I never talked to him again. He went back to war after that, and then I moved before he
war.
Got back.
What, did you go to Gulf War?
He was deployed.
We're at war right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're still at war.
It's just
all
we don't call
later.
It war anymore. Yeah.
But yeah, he went off to war. We moved, and they got a divorce, and I never saw him again.
That is nuts, dude. Nuts.
What now? So then, he also lived on a sailboat for 9 years, right? Nine,
yeah, in Hawaii.
In real life or in the trip?
Who can say?
Yeah, seriously.
And yeah. His wife is pulling chicks off the beach and having threesomes.
Yeah, that's how I got out of Mormonism.
How did you? What was Christmas like on the boat? Did you get a tree?
I had a small tree on the boat, and then every year I would decorate the mast, like put lights up the mast,
yeah.
and just do that kind of thing.
That's so amazing. Do you have a Christmas tree right now at your house?
No.
No. No tree.
You're decorated for Christmas, aren't you?
A little bit.
I know Jay is. I am.
You got to be there, you know, if you're going to like, you know, you're going home.
Do it or you're
yeah,
not.
I'm going home.
Where will you spend Christmas Day?
I'm going to spend Christmas Day with my girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
And her family.
Oh, that's cool.
Where are your kids?
God, what do they even say?
How old's your oldest?
My oldest is 26.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
And do you talk to her about not doing Salvia? Like, if you had an adult, she's an adult now. Can you have that conversation of like, hey, man, don't fuck with
well,
that?
How old's your youngest?
My youngest is a senior in high school.
It's the best say no to drugs campaign I've ever fucking heard in my life.
You know, you should. I believe that all drugs should be legal except for that one. That's the most dangerous fucking drug in the world. No other drug will do that to you.
I heard you campaigned against it in fucking in your Salvia trip.
Well, we did like research or talked to people after you told us that, and someone had some story that someone throughout time that did Salvia, their trip was 20 years as paint on a barn.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember that.
Well, no, not on the. No, oh. I just like heard about it like online. Like you were just like paint on a barn, and yeah. you were just like a, like the equivalent of 20 years, just like almost like being stuck in limbo. Or,
yeah, and purgatory. You feel yeah. every minute of every day. It just there's no.
I feel like somebody said Ari had a story too about being like a shark.
Or, lived underwater for 2 years.
2 years. Lived
Ari
underwater.
Did?
Yeah,
he's never told me that.
Ari yeah. Schaefer. Well,
he told her.
I'll
on
tell
his
you
podcast.
Right now.
All right, getting them all excited now. Oh man, that is it's an incredible Christmas story. It's an incredible Christmas story. Do your kids bring it up to you? Ever?
They do bring it up to me. Yeah, we talk about it all the time. A lot, you know, weird things have happened on Christmas over the years, and
like what else?
Yeah.
God. There was one time when my daughter Pepper was about 1 year old. So this would be about
your daughter's name's Pepper.
Yeah,
is that her birth name?
Yeah,
I love that.
Salt, get in here, you sisters.
Salt, push it, push it,
so. You know, when you're Mormon, they convince you that you have magic powers. You know, you have.
You might.
You wear magic underwear all the time that are supposed to protect you from just everything. Everything from evil spirits to, you know, guns and knives and stuff like that. And they give you this magic oil that you keep on your keychain that's supposed to be able to have the ability to bring people back from the dead.
Hmm.
You know, so.
Too bad Ryan didn't have him with his dad.
Let me run into Quick Mart real quick and get something, Dad. Just suck on this oil.
Yeah. So you practice these prayers that they teach you to do this, and you keep it on your keychain, and they tell you that someday you could come across a terrible car accident or something like that, and you might need to use this oil to heal somebody.
So real quick, is it only for someone else, or are you allowed to use it for yourself?
You're not allowed to use it for yourself.
And that's some bullshit. You got to fucking... I mean, how many people would be tempted, though? You could die on the street like...
And you're not allowed to use it on pets.
What?
You can only use it on people.
Okay.
Or they'll kick your ass right
but
out.
But someone else. Can it be someone your else. Family?
Yeah.
Come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
man. My hamster's just in a bad way. Right
I mean,
now.
We consider Harry part of the family.
Yeah. So I was over at my aunt's house for Christmas with my whole family. My daughter is about 1 year old.
This is your
time.
Youngest?
Yeah. This is my second to the youngest.
Okay.
And,
I love that you say 1 year. It kills me when people say years. Put a year, put an S on the end of one.
It's kind
of
two.
1 year old. I'll hear a lot of people say that.
So we're all sitting around. We're just getting ready to, just putting everything on the table for Christmas dinner. Big family gathering.
How long is this after the salvia trip?
This is before the salvia
trip. This is pre-salvia.
Yeah,
all right, okay,
this is pre-salvia. All right. And this is probably the first time that I ever genuinely doubted that the Mormon Church was true. This is probably the first time that that thought ever really occurred to me. And it was because so we were all just putting the table together for Christmas, and somebody says, "Oh my gosh, what's wrong with Pepper?" And she was laying on the floor, and she wasn't breathing.
Oh no!
Jesus.
And she was completely pale, and she was lifeless, you know, on the floor. So, we freak out appropriately, and my wife yells, "Go get the oil!" So we go.
Everyone's like,
"So
go get the oil!"
Everybody in there.
I can't
oil.
Find my keys. Yeah. It's on my keychain. The valet's got it.
The valet. The valet at the house.
It's a nice house party, man.
And so I go get my keys, and I put a drop of oil on her head, and I say the magic prayer.
Oh, it doesn't go in the mouth. I'm
no,
wondering.
You put it right on the top of the head. And then,
like the crown or
the crown
forehead?
Crown.
Okay. I want to know this.
Yeah.
In case I'm ever in this situation.
Who's Mormon? Anybody Mormon with some keys? The crown.
I know it's olive oil, girl. Just shut up. Just put the shit on there.
So I put it on the crown of her head. Say the magical prayer. And
what is it?
It's so long and convoluted.
All right.
So yeah. But so she just immediately takes a breath.
Come on.
Yeah. And just immediately takes a breath, and her eyes flutter, and she starts to cry and wants my wife. And so she holds my wife. But, like, you know, I'm just like, it's like the most amazing faith-promoting moment that I've ever had in my life. Because here was the moment that I've always trained for.
Now, what all of you saw was a miracle. Take these pamphlets.
That's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, but my wife, you know, thought we should call 911 anyway, because just to make, just in case. And I was like, I don't know why you're bothering with 911. This is going to cost a lot of money. I healed her with the oil. She's going to be fine. You know?
Healed her.
So that has to be kind of difficult for you, because here you are questioning the Mormon religion, but then here they are proving to you, at least for this instance, that, hey, yeah, this shit is real.
And I was just full of just jubilation at the fact that I had this power within me and that I channeled it for to save my daughter. And I just, you know, you couldn't shut me up about it.
Yeah.
But she calls
herald angel sings glory to the newborn king.
Yeah, it felt like that. So the ambulance gets there. It's Christmas. So we're in Alaska. So it's like 45 minutes till the ambulance gets up to this house that we're at. So they had us come and ride with her in the ambulance.
Please
tell
me somebody showed up dressed as Santa.
Sandy?
Yeah, one guy showed up with a beard. And
but the whole time while you're waiting this 45 minutes, she's back to normal and fine.
Back to normal, and we've gotten on the internet then and found out that there's something that's called a febrile seizure, which is if kids get too high of a temperature, little tiny kids, they'll just have a seizure and just like a
lot of seizures at Christmas in your family.
Body shuts down.
Time for the Christmas seizure.
Everybody gets the seizure,
around, kids.
Oh, tis the seizure.
You got the short straw. So. So they take her medical history on the ride into the hospital, and my wife's telling him about febrile seizure, and I'm saying, no, you know, actually what happened is I put magic oil on her head.
You're saying
she was dead. We saw her.
This
she was
drunk
dead.
Son of a yeah. bitch
And so we, you know, I brought her back to life with this.
But there was no pulse
oil.
Or anything.
I mean. I didn't really pause. It didn't seem like there was a pulse, but I'm not really medically trained.
But you're telling them this is she was
dead,
and we brought her
and
back.
And I brought
with
her
oil.
Back to life.
One
with,
drop.
Yeah.
How big's the vial?
It's tiny. Like sometimes.
How many drops? Like, guess the jelly beans.
You could 12. Probably bring a football team back to life if you had to. Right. Like, if you came across a terrible pulse action. Because it only takes just a dab will do you, really. Just
it sounds like it.
Maybe start with the Raiders.
So, I'm telling this paramedic all this stuff. And I can tell he's writing it all down studiously on his clipboard. But I can tell that he's kind of being patronizing, you know? We pull up at the hospital, and we go sit in the room with her, and he brings this doctor in by the elbow, and he's like, tell this doctor here how you brought your daughter back with magic oil. And so, and then he puts the clipboard like up over his mouth while he listens to the story.
Like a laugh.
Yeah. And there's just something like about, so, you know, the doctor then explains to me about febrile seizures and how my oil is shit, and, you know, basically...
See that squirrel? Watch this shit. Shoot that guy right over there and let me put some oil on his head. Shoot him. Let me put some oil on his head.
So, yeah, that's...
Were you really feeling like you had done it?
Yeah, I really was feeling that I had done it and that was like, you know, because you're looking for anything like that. When you're trying to stay Mormon, you're just trying to cling on to any possible...
Trying to stay Mormon's a great expression.
Yeah. Man, I'm just trying to stay Mormon. How you doing? I'm just trying to stay Mormon. Yeah.
Don't shit on my miracle here. I'm just trying to stay Mormon.
This asshole over here with 8 years of fucking college. Yeah. Probably 10 minutes of salvia is all that was, motherfucker.
Yeah, so something about being laughed at by college-educated people caused a pause.
So then you switch right back to...
So I'm still Mormon, but I'm just it starts me down the road of doubting a little bit. And that leads to me wanting to try... You know, I just then had kind of a wandering eye as far as what in life am I missing out on? Mm. You know, because you're really not allowed to look on the internet all that much. And just,
yeah, I was going to add, when you said that, you looked it up. I was wondering if you were allowed to do that.
Yeah, very, very little. You've got to watch your internet use.
But isn't that interesting? Because here's this religion that precedes, I mean, Jesus Christ, no pun intended there, maybe fucking handwriting. I don't fucking know. It's old, and it's been around a long time. And all of a sudden, this new technology comes in. And it's funny to me that they'll modify the shit you can't do. Yeah. But they don't ever seem to modify the shit you can do. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the problem I have with religion. No offense, Steve. Yeah. Cross yourself, brother. Cross yourself on that.
Well, you know what?
I am a reverend.
Are you?
I am. I'm ordained.
All right. So I think that all religions boil down to they take something that normally you would want to do, and they see who's willing to stop doing that thing, because those are the guys that will actually give you their money.
Huh.
That's that. It's just the things that you're not allowed to do are is the filter that they use.
Well, you've seen it from the inner workings. So.
You sound like Sam Kinison.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like his story about like when he was a Pentecostal preacher, right. And he had the Corvette that had the X-Rev license plate and stuff like that. And if Houston comedy, yeah. Like I'm like, I think I'm sitting with the new Kinnis.
Don't wish that on me.
No. Well, yeah. It's all a trip, man.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
It's all a trip, baby. Well, you had said that you might. Are there other stories that you had that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, any kind of stories. Cool. How we do it on time?
We got time. Let's go.
We got a couple more minutes.
We got more than a couple, right?
I mean,
okay. Yeah, I mean, well, tell a story. It's happened at Watch.
You want a? Do you want a story from Tyler from the Salvia trip, or do you want to? Do you want a like a camping story?
Let's get the Tyler. Let's get the Salvia. I want to hear a Tyler story.
Okay, yeah, let's hear them both.
Okay. And there's some things that happened in Tyler that I'm glad were imaginary, you know, because they were sad.
Like
things.
All of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would, but some of the things, I, you know, bad shit happened, and I'm glad that I carried a lot of guilt with it the whole time that I was there. And so something
I killed six people.
It does make me wonder now about these super depressed people on this planet. Like if they really just don't know where the fuck they are, you know,
yeah. They're from another planet.
It's made me question everything. This wow. All just the drugs in general, all of it's pretty trippy. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me question everything. I, you know,
did you have any happy moments that you remember, like where you felt joy?
They won the kickball league 2 years in a row, dude.
Two?
Grand
probably felt good singing, though. Probably felt good to sing.
It felt real good singing. You know, it's not like I was famous there or anything like that. We our big claim to fame was that we like,
I can't deal with you thinking you could be yeah. On a cover band.
No, listen.
How shitty would it be if you were, though?
Never, oh, my God.
Who knows what other worlds are like?
If you were a millionaire and now you had everything and then you woke back up, you're like, no!
Shut the fuck up.
You claw your way to the top of the.
Give me that salvia, goddammit.
Oh, I think that sometimes about this. You know, when you guys at big moments where you guys have me invite me out on stage or something like that, I just think that sometimes I'm just going to disappear through that stage.
Poof.
Yeah, be back up on that. Back
don't
in
worry,
floor.
If you do, we'll know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, you find me. You find me in Alaska. So, some things that happened were not always happy. I had a friend that kept mink out behind the apple orchard.
Minks?
Minks. So his family had this deal with the Petersons that they had this big rack of...
Automotive?
They had all these mink
prominent
cages.
Family in Tyler, Texas, in Masalvia, story to Petersons. Is this nuts to you? Look at Simone. He can't get it. This is your face when he fucking told us the first time it was us, man.
So... They had these mink that they would, their family basically used this to make ends meet. They would have these mink and they would grow all year in these long metal cages and we would go out
now,
and water them and
you,
feed them. Yeah.
You say 1 year, but you single up the mink. Is it mink in plural, like deer, or is it minks?
He's a real minx. So
I don't know.
I think it's mink.
That's probably.
I mean, no one's. How often are we talking about mink?
Shrimps.
That's what I'm saying. I had to actually. Yeah. People always do shrimps,
always.
Bro. Always shrimps.
The best.
What about shrimps?
All these Chinese menus always say shrimps.
So good.
All right. I'm sorry.
So, you know, all year long, I would work helping him water and feed these things anytime that he couldn't come feed the mink.
What are they for? Are they
so
for
you,
coats?
Yeah, you would kill them at the end in the fall.
You would do this?
Well, yeah, it was a big it was big work because you would have to put on these big welding gloves, and the mink kind of know what's up. So you're just kind of going from cage to cage, and you don't want to damage the pelt. It's very valuable. So you got to put on these welding gloves because they're basically fucking weasels and they bite. And so you got to open the cage and you got to be real careful it doesn't get out because the fishing game, if they trap a bunch of mink out in the wild that are from your farm, that you can get a big fine from.
Because why? The mink are...
It fucks up the ground nesting birds and they just, you know, it just messes with the ecosystem.
Is this all true?
No, this all happened in the...
But I mean,
that's
my question. Like, is that what a mink looks like? Is that how they...
Is this
have
also
no
how,
idea.
Do you also put on gloves to do this?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Do you do? That's the real process?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is that how you really do this for minks? You put on welding gloves?
That's how we did it.
It's probably not even close.
Everything
to
I know about mink, I learned in Tyler, Texas. So.
I learned on Salvia. Yeah.
I got that T-shirt, man. Yeah.
Everything I know about mink, I learned from Salvia.
So, And I did this every year with him. You would just basically grab the mink, and it would take days and days and days to get all these mink and kill them all individually. And you just run their heads underneath this roller that they had on the back of the truck, and it would just break their necks.
Jeez.
You know, but leave no marks on them, and you just throw them in the back of the bed of the truck, and you just keep on going down the line, and then you drop them.
How many would you say they had?
Thousands.
Holy crap.
15,000, 20,000. The smell was insane. Yeah, for sure.
You remember the smell.
Oh, you'll never forget the smell of
it. But it's not even real. That's what's nuts. It's not even real, and you remember
that. It is real.
Yeah.
It is probably real.
And the truck, these were all these wire cages, so there's just endless duties of trying to weld up these cages. And you would have to make sure if you were going to mend the cages that you had to transfer the mink to these temporary cages so that you didn't electrocute the mink with the arc welder. And one time we were
arc welder,
so you just
Louis. They did the one in St. Louis.
It's a welder that uses electricity to melt the metal. So. And this will come into play later. So I have this great idea while we're out catching the weasels one day that, you know, most of this job is having to catch them and fight with them. What if we just electrocuted them all in the whole row, and then we could just go and just pick them out of the cages, and we would get done in no time. So that's what we do. We just
trying to get home to my misery.
Yeah.
I got to go cry, guys. Let's kill these men.
I got a 4:30 cry coming up.
Let me pencil that in between the 4:30 cry.
Get to killing these things.
Meanwhile, now listen, right now, while he's telling this story, he's doing all this. But he is on the floor of someone's home having a fucking seizure while the people on the other side are watching this fucking happen. Crazy. He's fucking electrocuting.
That's insane. And you're year four of this.
Yeah. So we decide we're going to electrocute these things.
They're and that's a great idea.
It's a kid my same age.
Don't forget, I would imagine everything in that world would just agree with whatever your POV is, I would think, to some capacity, right? Or did you get pushed back at the teller at ATMs and shit? Where were you banking?
A couple HR issues at Tyler, Texas.
I mean, there's probably the same amount of magic that exists in us now in this life as exists in Tyler. We don't know to what extent if we just ask for things that we'll get them in this life. And it was probably the same there.
Yeah.
So I had this great idea. We're gonna kill these men with electricity.
Just touch the metal and then shock them all
shock
down the
road. All
right. Merry and we're gonna
This episode is gonna get flagged by PETA. Imaginary PETA. And so we hook up the negative on one side and we take the positive, and we don't want to scorch the fur or anything, so we just give them a quick pfft, and they all just kind of stiffen and fall over, and it works like magic, and we're just like, oh my god, it worked. We have revolutionized the mink industry. We're bragging. We're just running from cage to cage, no gloves, just throwing these mink in the back of the truck and just up and down the aisles. We do the whole week's worth of work in just an hour or two.
Where are you catching these? In the wild?
No, they grow. They get them
they
as babies.
Cages. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So we're talking about how his mom's going to be so pleased, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to be able to have the rest of the week off. So we're throwing them in the back of the truck, and then we drive up to the house and to show his mom before we take him to the tanner to get him all skinned. And we go in
the tanner.
So we go into their house, and he's like, Mom, come outside. We got a surprise for you. And she's like, what? You guys better not be, you know, messing with me. So she comes out, and he's like, we got it all done in a couple hours. Come look in the back of the truck. And she goes out there, and she looks in the back of the truck, and she's like, ha-ha, really funny. And we look in the back of the truck, and it's fucking empty. Except there's three or four dead mink in the back of the truck, and all the other mink are gone. Because I guess they weren't dead. We had just stunned them.
Oh, my.
And we threw them all in the back of the truck.
And they hauled
it. And the only ones that died, that were still in there were the ones that got suffocated by the other ones laying on top of them. So they were just jumping out of the truck as fast as they could, and they just all disappeared into the foothills, and they got huge, huge goddamn fine.
How much?
From Fish and Wild. Enough where they lost their farm.
They lost their farm.
Yeah.
In the salvia tree.
You're taking down the economy in Tyler, Texas.
Nothing ends well, bro. Steve can't end well.
Was that also on Christmas?
No. Yeah. For, yes and no. Yeah.
But for sure it affected their Christmas.
Oh,
for sure.
Man.
During that minute trip it was.
Oh, shit. I used to cry and ask him to forgive me all the time. And my friend was like, you know, he eventually got to the point, but he never hated me for it. But it, you could always tell that there was in his, it, there was just something a little around his eyes where he just.
Isn't it hard to listen to this because you don't know what's real? And what's
you know what? What if when you came out of that lake,
yeah,
that someone was there and put oil on your head and saved you and you were dying and they saved you with Mormon oil?
Oh, I'm telling you. That's a better script for sure.
I mean, that. What if that was the twist?
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more,
Let's
Jay?
See. Yes, I have 10 minutes.
Okay.
What's the camping one?
Yeah.
So when I first moved to Alaska, our friend's baby got eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God.
It did.
Yeah.
That happened.
Oh, my God.
And
I just want to say this is the last story on the crab.
I thought this was a Christmas episode.
Hey, man, they're not all great Christmases. No. You know what I'm saying? I remember you saying that.
Hard
and that was real,
Christmas
though. That wasn't salvia.
Yeah, that's real. This is real. These people, they were up picking blueberries.
Yeah.
And they had their toddler behind them just happily eating blueberries while they just got lost picking blueberries. And they didn't have a bear dog with them, a dog to alert them the fact that there was a bear sneaking up on them.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So that was their crucial mistake, and they didn't even see the bear. They just heard a noise as the bear, and they looked over to the trees and saw a bear running from where they had been into the trees.
Oh, God.
And they turned around, and there was no baby. The baby was gone.
All right.
So that was this. So we were obsessed with having a bear dog at all times because, you know, don't ask me why we would go camping even though we already lived in Alaska, but we just. It was a good cheap thing to do with a big family, so yeah. We would just.
But where would you go, like tent camping or cabin? Or...
RV camping up. Okay. We just drive up the highway, just deep into the interior as far as we could, and then just pull out all the stuff and just kind of hang out there for the weekend. And we got us a bear dog because.
What's a bear like? Give me what's a bear dog?
A bear dog is just a dog you have.
But is there a breed like no. Ridgebacks for
Husky,
lions and all
golden
that
retrievers,
shit? Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering.
German
Huskies.
Shepherd.
You just go to the pound and anything that they're going to put down, you adopt it and you don't name it. You have kind of an arm's length relationship with it. You know it's going to live kind of a short life
because it's going to probably get killed by that bear.
Yeah, a bear dog's job is just to go. It'll pick a fight with a bear. And give you just enough time to either get your gun or get in the RV
or
get in
the
kennel.
Hell out of
yeah, because the dog's going to lose the fight, but it's gonna definitely take the bear's
Got
attention.
It. Okay,
but you gain the upper hand by knowing that there's a bear sneaking around out there. So we have this bear dog, and you know the kids. It's not really even a pet. You know, it can't be considered a pet. It just kind of lives in the garage and follows your kids to the bus. You know. So we also had a true pet, which is this tiny little fluffy ball of fur, this kitten called Poo Poo Kitty. And it was just, you know, everything that the bear dog was going to
believe this shit, right?
Poo Poo Kitty!
Poo Poo
Kitty!
Where's your ass in there, Poo Poo?
Get off that cat house and get over here.
You know, the bear dog's constantly trying to eat Poo Poo Kitty and... You know, I have to do all the driving. You know,
you got a bear dog trying to eat a cat, and bears trying to eat the bear dog.
Yeah, and four ungainly
and
kids, and long, long drives into the frozen asshole of Mother Nature. You know, so that you can go camping. So I was doing all the driving, and my wife told me that if I did all the driving, that she and the kids would set up all the camp stuff when we got into the camp, and I could go off into the woods by myself and unwind by smoking a little bit of marijuana. Cool. I had just recently. Started buying smoking marijuana, even though I was still a Mormon clergy member. But just, you know, that long slide from salvia to this is post salvia, by the way. So
how disappointing weed must have been for you.
Oh, I asked so many people, like, there's no way I'm going to get trapped in another dimension with this.
Dimension.
So, just, yeah. So I make the deal with her, and she says, okay, just one more thing before you go off into the woods and smoke. She said, will you start a big fire before I go? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Put all this wood in a pile, pour gasoline over, and start this huge fire, and I'm just gone into the trees.
True camper.
True camper.
By yourself?
I'm not going to fuck around. No. Yeah, I'm gone by myself.
Right.
Yeah, because the kids can't know that I'm smoking weed. My wife is barely okay with
it. I'd be scared a bear will fucking kill me out there.
I should have taken the bear dog with me, but... My wife, who was in charge at the time, takes the bear dog and locks it in the RV where it can't protect anybody from.
Oh my gosh.
Because she's trying to keep it from eating Poo Poo Kitty, and takes Poo Poo Kitty out and puts it on the ground camp spot to protect us from all the bears. And then turns around to get a big igloo cooler and is walking to the picnic table to put the cooler down and can't see where she's going. And she steps on Poo Poo Kitty and breaks its back. Doesn't kill it outright.
Merry Christmas.
We started this podcast about the Chipmunks Christmas album. I feel like Milhouse when Krusty the Clown is over. He's like, I just want to go home.
Poo-poo Kitty just got her back.
Oh my
bro,
god, her poor kitten's back. Break your mama's back.
I'm gonna cry.
Break Poo-poo Kitty back.
Who? What kind of slow ass cat
gets stepped on?
Oh man!
This cat was—it was a tiny kitten, you know, just tiny, and didn't kill it outright. Just fucked it up to the point where you know it's gonna die. You know, even if this had happened next to a veterinarian clinic, it wouldn't have.
Can't use oil on it.
You can't. Yeah. I'm in the woods smoking weed. My oil doesn't work anymore. So she waits. For, you know, we have a shotgun. We have a shotgun that's loaded with dimes to kill bears with. But neither of us have ever fired it in anger. But she, like, brings it out, tells the kids to, like, look away because she's got to put Poo Poo Kitty out of its misery. Oh, she's suffering,
that's some
Alaska, you
know, shit right
there. That is.
But my kids won't look away.
I'd have saved ammo and put her on the fire. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny you should say that.
Too bad you couldn't throw it in there with a minx.
So what she does is she waits for me to come back and waits for me to come back and can't bring herself to shoot it. And, you know, I'm just down there. I think that, you know, go off and smoke is more than just 5-10 minutes. I'm down there for like an hour.
Oh, Jesus.
On two joints, you know, wondering about whether or not money's real. You know, just staring into the water. And she waits as long as she can. And then all the kids are crying and freaking out. And so she just does the next best thing that she can think of to put Poo Poo Kitty out of her misery. She just kneels down and says a little prayer to Joseph Smith and throws Poo Poo Kitty in the fire.
I mean, that's the way they did it back in the day.
I mean, cremation. She thought that it would have been instantaneous, you know? So, but that was just, you know.
Oh, no. To hear the cat.
But I guess that depends on, like, what your definition of the word instantaneous means. You know, she, Poo-Poo Kitty, as soon as it realized it was on fire, like, its front paws still worked a little bit. It was able to claw itself out of the fire.
Oh, my
like the
God.
She had to kick it back into the fire.
She's like the bad guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark, man.
It was trying to crawl underneath the RV.
Terminator 2.
It was terrible. What? The terrible.
It's a Christmas the worst Christmas story ever.
You know,
so Rudolph got run over by a reindeer.
Oh my God!
So I come wandering into
never
camp.
Never gonna be the same.
Poor Poo Poo Kitty.
I'm dreaming of a wife.
It was J-I-N-G-L-E.
Bell.
K-I-L-L the cat.
Oh, this is so
terrible.
So the bear dog, you know, sees all of this happen from the cab of the RV. He doesn't really understand enough about, you know, human dynamics. Doesn't understand what Poo Poo Kitty may have done to piss my wife off, deserve to be stomped on and thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
But that was it. Essentially, she left me for an Eskimo after that. That was the death.
Oh, man.
Bell.
Well, what happened?
What do you mean?
You put the cat out of her misery finally.
Yeah, then? she scooped it back into the fire. The family all cried and cried and cried. I eventually emerged from the trees with a silly fucking look on my face. You know?
Dad's feeling great.
I'm like,
something smells good.
You guys catch a witch?
Whoa, someone's been cooking.
Hot dog.
Oh, Jesus. All right, who wants to eat?
And we never went camping again. That bear dog is still alive. That was it. That was it.
That bear dog is still alive right now?
That bear dog is still alive.
Wow.
He's in Ohio.
How do you have a dog that long you don't eventually... Now he's out of Alaska. Now is he a family member? Is he in the house and shit now?
Yeah.
He's like, God damn. I know what y'all up in the world. I know. I saw what y'all did to Poo Poo.
It was instantaneously trained.
He just paw up and looking out the window like, oh, my God.
I'm going to fetch.
Moving
I'm going to fetch. Tell shit. Me to sit. Tell me to sit.
I'll roll over every time you want.
I'll let that tree sit on the end of my nose until you say
it ain't. This is the neighbor's paper. I got it for
you. He got a little paw moving that curtain. He's like, oh, my God. Look what they did to Poo. I just wanted to eat her. Look what they're doing to Poo Poo Giddy. Oh, dude. What a fucking... What an episode. We got to get out of here.
Yeah,
this
we
is
gotta
it,
get
guys.
Out of here, you guys.
Now, stay tuned because Jay and I have a little more to say after this, but we can't thank you both enough for coming on here.
This was an honor.
Dude, Steve Simone, Steve Can't End Well, thank you both. For being,
thank you, for making the trek out here.
Dude,
by the way,
thank you.
I wasn't going to shake hands. Let's roll all night.
Pleasure to meet
thank
you.
Thank you as well, brother.
Thank
I love you both,
you.
Jay Larson as well. We have more to come for us, but thank you
any,
for being
any plugs for you guys.
Yeah, anything you want to plug or promote?
I've got Steve, New Year's Eve. Follow
oh yeah, New Year's Eve.
That.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to be New Year's Eve, Denver Comedy Works
there
downtown.
Denver Comedy Works, New Year's Eve, Stevie Simone.
Yep.
Denver, go see Steve Simone. We have a lot of feasters in Denver. Denver, go see him.
Town and City Brewing every Friday night in Houston. Storytelling show. Come check it out.
Houston Feasters. Go see Steve Can Amwell down there.
And if you're in Tyler, Texas, go get yourself a mink coat.
Treat yourself to some
get
apples.
Get yourself a mink stole down there in Tyler. It's and some apple juice. thank you guys for coming on over the years. Thanks for being great guests. We really appreciate having you guys on, man.
Thank I want to thank you guys and then all the feasters. Whenever I do shows, there's always some feasters in the audience.
Yeah.
So thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You plucked me out of obscurity, and it's been quite a ride.
We'll put
you
right back in. Plucked you out of Tyler, Texas. You're going right back in, dude.
There it is. The last crack. Sickle said it was going to be a special one, and it sure as hell was. A
lot of you out there clamoring, why didn't Steve Simone make the final 10? What about Steve Cantwell?
Well, what about calling someone out of the back? People writing out there. You know what's funny, too? It was like sub-comments on social media, like, can't wait, who do you think the final 10? And someone would comment back, man, I really hope that they call someone out of the back room, finally.
Somebody better. And then other people.
You're all a bunch of dorks.
Because we thought about it, too. Like, you don't ruin the joke. You know what I mean? You don't, but you know what? That Salvia story is, look, it's got my vote for story of the podcast.
I mean, it's kind of hard to like argue with it.
It's,
you always can because people have preference.
Not
you know?
Necessarily the funniest story, by the way. I mean,
but interesting.
But just mind blowing, mind melting, literally.
Is it made
it's
up?
The craziest
sure.
story. But 90% of it, probably. But, yeah, we told you we had something in the old Sandy sack for you, and Steve Cantwell. The fact that that is a Christmas Day story is
insane.
Just, I mean, come on, man.
And we didn't put the pieces of that together. Like you said in the intro, you said how, like, you know, sometimes you let things take their course. You know, we did our best to prep to get all these guests because we had to, like, let you guys know. Then you guys told us what you wanted. Then we got who we could, when we could. And it wasn't until last minute we were like,
literally,
oh, my God, that Salvia story is Christmas Day.
Yeah.
What if we get, you know, both Steves here?
Christmas with the Steves.
I mean, it's amazing, you know?
It is amazing. And to be able to do that, to have – and he drove from Houston for that. Like – that's what we try to talk about as far as like podcasting. It is fucking difficult to get three people together for 90 fucking minutes. It's difficult. It's been the hardest thing about podcasting.
Yeah.
Scheduling conflicts. So the fact that we could line
the
up
the only
Simone
thing
and
harder
Cantwell.
Was getting three of us in here and having eight legs under the table. That was that was one of the toughest
stuff, man. I had to get a custom built table for that.
Santa's
for
favorite Jimmy reindeer, man.
Oh, man. Well, look, man, I just want to say this to you.
Well, can we
do
right,
whatever you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, can we wait a sec?
Yeah.
I wanted to, a lot of you guys who follow me on social and the Crab Feast, I put out a post, a GoFundMe for my good friend Anthony, who I grew up with, buddies for life, and they had a house fire. They're going to lose everything in their house. I mean, that's every single thing, you know. So, like, if you had a letter from your grandfather, that's gone. If you had, name it,
gone.
Kids' projects that you kept, you know, you're like, oh, we'll keep five. You know, gone. Furniture, toothpaste, they can't go back in the house. Never again. So that they're going to lose all that. So my fantasy football league is all high school buddies, and one put out there to everyone, he's like, hey, if everyone could pitch in some money, I'm going to just go buy Christmas gifts for all the boys, because he's got three boys. And I called my friend up. I'm like, man, I appreciate you doing that, because I'm so far away. And he's like, dude, within 20 minutes of me sending that text out, we had $1,400 to go buy gifts. And I go, wow, that's amazing. He's like, I'm stoked. He goes, I can't wait to go buy $1,400 worth of gifts for three boys. It's going to be amazing. And my friend Anthony, what were you going to say?
I said to you, I want you to make make whatever you want from the Crab Feast for both of us. And I say that because what you just said resonated with me. My father died right before Christmas. And we were three kids. Now, our home didn't burn down, but our lives were might as well have.
Oh,
and
my God, yeah.
I remember.
What was the date?
He died on the 27th.
Of Christmas?
November 27th. Oh, okay. Like right before. And then right before. So our Thanksgiving, we made it through Thanksgiving, and then our next couple weeks is
Christmas. I'll be honest with you. He ate most of the turkey. Okay, people were like, shit, man.
I was like, Dad, slow down on that turkey, man.
Slow down on that stovetop, please. Yeah, he's coming out fresh off a heart attack, man.
that's right there what I love most about the fucking gravity.
Oh, dude. Hell yeah.
Fuck the people that can't lean into that shit, man.
Well, that was a thing, too. So this text chain goes out. And
wait, let me just say this, please. Because I was one of these three boys, and people did help us out. And I remember feeling like, fuck that. Like, I was a charity case. But now I look back on that, and totally. I don't even know.
And there was no GoFundMe then.
But I don't know who organized it. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got all these people involved. I don't know who organized that. I don't even remember who brought the fucking bags of. And so many people bought us so many nice clothes and, you know.
Probably
so,
better than what you had on before.
No doubt. I mean, you got some Michigan Wolverine shit. I'll never forget somebody giving me a Michigan Wolverine sweatshirt, but I wore the shit out.
He put his arm around
you. It was cold,
man.
It was like, December.
We'll get a fan any way we can.
Yeah, so please, I would be honored to contribute to that. I was one of those kids.
I wanted to tell you, there's some quick stories about this guy that I love. Anthony is one of the most adventurous dudes I know. So I've told this story in the podcast before. My buddy Rye's wedding, we're staying in this old like mini hotel that's on the campus of this super old high school called Phillips Andover, like Kennedy went there. Bush went there. It's this private school in Andover, and you can rent the inn for a wedding, and that's where my buddy, his wife was from that town. And we had this, like, there was, like, no one else in the hotel. It was just, like, the wedding party. And he comes in. He goes, hey, who wants to go on an adventure? I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, let's go explore the basement. And I'm like, done. Let's go. We went through the basement. There was, like, a barber shop in there. And then we end up in the kitchen of this, like, hotel.
It's the ice cream?
Yeah. And we find a 5-gallon jug of ice cream. We grab a bunch of spoons. We go back to the room, and I'm like, I open the door, and I go, I have 10 spoons in my hand. Anthony, what do you have? And he brings in this giant vat of ice cream. And the wedding gift, like everyone takes something from, was either chocolate syrup or caramel for some coincidence. And we sat there in the room with like the groom's party and the bridesmaids, and we all just housed this ice cream, which was awesome. There were days where like he would call me and be like, what are you doing right now? When I had my Jeep, and I'm like, nothing. He goes, come pick me up. We're going to Rhode Island. I go, what are we doing? He goes, I don't know. And we would just drive to Newport, Rhode Island, rent a little boat, and cruise around. I used to have this LeBaron convertible, and like, you know, like the back two little tiny windows, you know, like in a convertible, those would go down and up. And one day he came.
The little triangles back there, the isosceles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he came jumping in my car, and that window was up, and he smashed it.
Like went right through it?
Yeah, and he broke it, and I could never get it fixed. And that's why I used to drive around with a pillow person in there. I stuffed the pillow person.
Like Hulk Hogan? Who was in it?
No, they used to have these things called pillow people I had from when I was a kid.
But they did characters of them, too, later. Yeah, like, you know.
Can you character sketch?
What was your pillow person?
It was just like some dude with, like, jeans and, like, you know.
Like construction Gary or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. So you never, like.
Pillow person.
And this is – so here's the moment that's going to remind me the most of like, his house specifically that he had –
You spent time in that home?
Not much because, he's just got it, you know? Like, you know, we're all just buying houses at this point in our lives. So maybe he's been there 4 or 5 years or something like that. This was, like, how dope he was. He asked to get transferred to Andorra to – what the hell's that little – little country where they do tons of tax stuff. He's in tax. That's what he does. And so he went and lived in a foreign country with his wife and kids for like 2 years. And like, that's so ballsy. People, that's something you dream about doing. He went and did it, and they came back, and they got this house. So when my dad died, he lives, this my friend Anthony, like a couple towns over from where my dad was. So we all went out to dinner, and then he's like, why don't you come back to my house? And I'm like, all right. And he goes, you want to go out to the point in Marblehead? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, all right, let me run inside. And he went upstairs into his house, tucked in like this little attic, and came down with a Case Logic of CDs. And there was this song, like one night, this is classic, this kid, Anthony. We're driving around in my Jeep at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay, all-nighter. We did an all-nighter, drinking, smoking, name it. And then we're playing cards all night. It's 5 a.m. We go by the coffee shop my girlfriend works at to see if she's there. We're reeking of booze. She's not. So then we're driving, and we pull up to a light, and there's our JV soccer coach, who's like one of the most influential people we've ever known in our lives. Like when he came to our school, like he changed the soccer program with his mentality. And he was a guy that would like bet us he could do 1,000 sit-ups in a minute or like 10 minutes, and he would do it. Like always stuck by his word. And we pull up to a light, and there he is. And we roll down the window, and he's like, Jesus Christ, I can smell you guys from here. And
how old are you at this time?
We're in college, you know. And he's sitting there, Anthony's smoking cigarettes, and he's like, are you smoking butts? We're like, where are you going? He's like, I got practice. JV, I got him at 6 a.m. We're like, unbelievable. And he took off. You know, it's the middle of winter with basketball. He coached basketball too. And I look over at Anthony, and he goes, look at that. And I go, what? He goes, he's going to practice right now. Look at us. We're trash. And he goes, I'm done with cigarettes. And like pulled up, threw his cigarettes out.
Rest of the night.
That night, back to smoking cigarettes.
All three cards of Camels.
So that night before my dad, when I went to go see my dad and go through all his stuff, I went with him to the point. And he went up and got that Case Logic. And like when we were driving around that night, there was this song by Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise.
I know them very well.
Yeah.
Which one?
You know that song? I remember Marvin Gaye. That song. Once upon a time, when I was... Anyway, he went upstairs and he's like, I know that CD is in this Case Logic. When, like, you know, this was before my dad, or when my dad passed. This has been 20-something years. And we pulled out, he's like, is this it? And, like, there's no name on it, it's just his brown disc. And we put it in, he goes, I think it was track 5. And we go, boom, Robert. And then we just drove around Marblehead, listened to that, went out to the point, sat out there, smoked a little weed. I got to like talk to him about my dad and what it was going to be like. And he's just a really cool, cool guy. And I even said to him, I sent him a text, you know, when he told us all that this had happened. And I said, dude, if there's anyone I know that's going to bounce back from this and turn it into an adventure for your kids and a bonding experience, it's going to be you and Diana. That's his wife. Because they have this like zest for life and positivity. They just move, you know? And I thought it was like, especially what we have always done here, is that you're going to have bumps in the road, but there's no need to let them hold you down. I mean, he's going to lose everything, you know?
Including like, that Robert Bradley CD.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a memory. That's a thing that we all hold on to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. When you can get it on iTunes.
Yeah, it's about, you know what else you get on iTunes? My new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, available now on iTunes and everywhere you get music and comedy.
So when that text chain went out, to all the guys in the Fantasy Football League, Anthony is always the best guy in the league every year.
What's your grand prize for your league?
I think it's like $1,200.
So, I mean, are you just going to donate it?
I'm not up for it. He's in the finals. Anthony,
he is?
Yeah, he's in the finals.
Man, well, life should let him win that.
Yeah.
Probably get shut out.
He wins all the time anyway. But what was great is everyone was like, you know, I was just like, there's got to lighten this because the text chain was like, oh, you're all right, Ant, blah, blah, blah. And then he had DeAndre Hopkins, who went off for like 167 yards and 2 TDs. Yeah. And someone wrote, "Do you have any idea how the fire started?" And I go, "I think it started with the hot hands of DeAndre Hopkins in his kitchen." And nice. So, anyway, I got a GoFundMe. It's out there on the Crab Feast fan page and my fan page and my social media, Instagram, whatever. If you have a couple bucks and, you know, it's a great time of the year to like help out. And someone put on my comments, they're like, "Insurance is going to cover it." And you're like, "Are you a fucking idiot?" Yeah, we know. It's going to cover the house and stuff, but you
it's
know...
It's going to cover the
fixing it. It's not going to cover,
it's not
like...
covering memories.
Yeah, like, how about, you know, you want to
be
able to...
I mean, that vacuum cleaner my friend put his dick in my grandma... It's gone, man.
It's gone,
melted, man.
All
this
stuff
is just
is
memories
gone.
Now. The story of guy putting it in his dick in my grandma's back.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
If you can help, please help.
Yeah. And where is that? Where can they find that?
Everywhere I just said. It's a GoFundMe. It's on my Facebook. It's on the Facebook fan page. It's on the Crab Feast fan page. Great. It's on my Instagram.
Is it on our website?
No, it's not on our website. So that's that, yeah. Anyway.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that happened.
Yeah, but they're going to bounce back, and we're going to bounce back, and all you're going to bounce back.
Guys.
What was your – do you have a favorite guest of all time? I mean, I've been thinking about it so much. Not favorite guests, but favorite moments.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't want to come in scripted. I really wanted to speak from my heart, so I'm glad you're asking me questions.
Well, what is that fucking script you have there?
That's for something else.
Santa Claus! Give me that script over here, Sandy!
I'll see you over at the Honeydew, Santa Claus. Man, my favorite, what was it, moment?
I don't know. What are some things that like stuck out to you over the years?
I mean, dude, we started as a, first of all, I want to say, I'm going to thank some people. Let's start there.
Thanking.
First and foremost, the Feasters, no doubt. You all have been a constant in my life. As much as we've helped you, we started this podcast in at Universal Studios in a room. And then moved it to my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't parents. We weren't, you know, doing anything.
What else, Ryan?
We weren't doing anything we're doing right now. And then...
speaking of like, there, you know, as a comedian, I'm sure you guys too, moments happen and they're seared into your brain. I'll never forget when we had Burr come over to your apartment.
Yeah.
And I had to like look out the hallway and he's walking the other way. I'm like, now we're down here, man. And you're like, I'm yelling at Bill Burr to be like, now come down to Rise. We're over here, bro. And then he comes in, you know, what he must have been thinking, like, fuck, what am I doing here with these fucking clowns?
Yeah, I'll tell you what he did. He built the network and we started working over there next.
Yeah.
So that's what's awesome about that. And I want to say thank you to Matt Fulcheron for kicking this
Full
off with
charge.
Me. Radio Rando. You had Eric Allen Wendell on the original as well. I asked you to come in when Full Charge left and couldn't do it anymore just to get your feet wet and then go do your own thing and... We turned this into something else. Over
yeah, we
7
switched
years,
the whole platform and made it, you know, something that like vibe complete with what we were doing.
Yeah, and it was great. And it's been, I can't thank the Feaster. Also, Jay Moore, 100%, no doubt, love for Jay Moore for going to his network and introducing us to all of you out there.
He gave us such a head start.
He did. So many people. I always, when I meet any Feaster, I always say, how did you first hear about the craft? He says, I'm always interested in. I'd say a good half of them, probably 40%, are Jay Moore.
I'd say how many?
Probably half.
I'd say that. And I'd say maybe like close, not close to half, but maybe 30% would be Jesse Shapiro. They were like,
no doubt.
Jesse one of the
Shapiro.
Greatest.
That's best episode ever. Best Toluca Lake Times still raving about it.
Still talking about it.
That was. Hey, you know.
So many moments, man. Yeah, we did this for a while. We did it in the shed that I built.
Did it in the crab
your
shack.
Apartment. I mean, we probably.
Over Raleigh Studios.
Raleigh Studios.
Yeah.
I mean, they changed their name once in a
Raleigh
while.
Durham. Like, you'll say Raleigh Durham.
I'll never forget over there, like one of them, when we had Tiffany Haddish on, just seeing her like literally open her entire soul up and bare all to us was unbelievable.
That was in my apartment, wasn't it?
No, that was at the studio.
Tig's story was fantastic.
Unbelievable. That was at your apartment.
That was.
Yep.
I stood and applauded for her at the end of that fucking story. I was moved by that, man.
It was weird for everybody else.
It really was.
Pete Holmes we had over there when we did Hurt Linda. That was such an amazing app. That was super fun. It was so much that went on in that episode.
And then we get out of that, the Crab Feast starts getting the Pete Holmes show and all these festivals. I never was a festival comedian before, but then all of a sudden we're getting Bridgetown and we're doing well. And
I'm glad I got us into Bridgetown.
SF Sketchfest.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest because Sketchfest
really
is something you always heard about.
Yeah.
And for us, we're not Sketchfest guys.
No.
I still get emails about who they're bringing up there, and I'm like, oh, those are not...
Not me.
Those are not Crab Feast. We've had them all as guests.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
which proves we can work with anybody.
100%.
We can work on any front or any room, any audience,
100%.
Anything.
That, you know what was so fun about Sketchfest is we did our podcast, and then there were two amazing guys we met, Crab Feast fans. They're football coaches up in the San Francisco area.
Yep.
I can't remember their names.
Who also? I know. Sorry, guys. Who also came to see
us. I know.
Us
let's get there. So one was suffering cancer, and... They're coaching together, best friends. They coached together. One had cancer, and the other one was the one who would drive him to all his chemo appointments and stuff like that. And the four of us sat in front of the building outside of Sketchfest, and we shit on him and his shitty cancer for about an
hammered
hour.
Hammered him about cancer.
We were all the two of them were crying,
he
laughing.
Loved it.
We just made fun of him, and so then Anytime we went up to the North Bay, when I did SF, they came out to see me. He brought his wife, our cancer boy. And then when we did Petaluma,
I think they came out when we did the 2016 tour, too, up in Punchline, San Francisco, yeah.
And then, you know, he's still dealing with the cancer. He hasn't got out. He was stage four, remember? And we would be like saying shit like, well, it ain't stage five. Why is he getting a fucking pussy about it?
Guys were beating him up at Petaluma.
Oh, my God. We crushed him. Because his boy is still taking him. Like, is he still talking about the cancer? Jesus Christ. How many years has it been? But it's like, that's what we do. And to be around people that are willing to do that was amazing.
I mean, look, dude.
You almost dying in Denver with those cars, man. Almost came up on the curb.
Let's go back and talk about that for a second. Not just Denver, but... just like I'm proud of us. I'm proud of the product we put out every Tuesday. We took one day off intentionally early on.
Jesse Shapiro episode.
And we have not missed a week. Dude, it's been good.
Anyone, these people, friends of ours that are comics and they start podcasts, I'm like, how's your podcast going? They're like, good. I just took a little time off. And I'm like, you can't.
Nope.
You got to be every single week.
Those people want to hear from you. And if they don't hear from you, there's plenty of other good shit out there.
Yeah.
But through it all, we've become parents. I mean, shit, they were telling me at one point I might have leukemia and lymphoma. I'm splitting from an ex.
I was praying for that.
We had a cancer scare, and, you know, God knows I can't raise these kids by myself. All of these things that have happened in our lives during this 7-year span, which has been crazy, from the getting of gigs to losing them to shows and losing them to family issues and kids. And we've sat right here, and we've done what we do every fucking Tuesday. And it's been good, and it's been a release for me, too. Like, when we sit here, I don't... same thing with stand-up. When I'm on that stage for whatever amount of time that is, I don't think about any of my troubles in my work.
Well, that's the thing. I was just going to say, we both have had some really high highs over these 7 years and some really low lows, both of us. And there were days where one of us was going through something, and as soon as we hit record over there, it just changed.
Gone.
And it was, you know, and you always felt better after. You know, it's so funny. People, like, have listened to the podcast, and they've told me, like, I laughed so much. It felt so good. I'm like, I know. I get to do that once a week, you know,
and like just laugh.
You should listen to more and more and more because that's what it does, you know. But at the same time, we were laughing, but we were like learning and understanding and growing and
still just, doing that. Still making mistakes about stuff moving forward. I'm sure you guys will all let me know all the errors I make in my new podcast and how to correct that. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Man, I've enjoyed the I so many things I'm proud of. The tour and getting out there and meeting all you people, all the shows that we're doing live, South by Southwest we got, you know, LA Riot Festival. I mean, just so many opportunities that came out of this podcast.
For sure. Go ahead, sorry.
No.
I forget what I was going to say.
But some of the best and funniest moments. I mean, look, hands down for me, Josh Adam Myers, consistently best guest with the best story.
I don't know.
You just can't.
I just don't know if he's.
You just can't.
I don't know.
Who would it be?
I mean, there's plenty of guests that were better than Josh. That's a fact.
You cannot, dude. You can't.
I just know he's listening like some fucking dog park right now. Be like, oh man, he's listening
in between vape hits.
Oh, he's trying to let go of me now. Of course Josh is great. I mean, he had so many amazing stories of not even amazing, just stories that we were able to like have fun with. That's the thing about Josh, is every guest was different, but Josh was always willing to be the butt of a joke, whether he knew it or not.
Well, no, I don't think that. For me, it was more like he got us.
Of course.
He came with stories to tee us up to laugh at, and then we were just like off and running.
But I think ultimately it was that Josh was a fan. Josh started as like he always listened and loved it.
He's still keeping the minutes right now. Yeah. He's keeping the minutes.
That's why he was able to always bring those great stories, because he knew like, oh, this is going to be great with Jay and Rye. And I think I love Josh, dude. You know I'm just effing with him. He had great stories, and he's hilarious in his own right. But I think one other thing I think that I'm most proud of what we did when we started this podcast, we were telling a lot of stories.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go to listen to the first 25, we were telling a lot more than that. First 50 episodes, we were always telling stories with people. But then we transitioned and we changed.
That's 100%
to be
right.
Like, hey.
Well, we ran out of stories.
Yeah, we ran out. We ran.
That was a necessary change slash transition.
I will say that in any project I've ever done creatively, with the less money I've had to make a project, like shorts or shorts, you get more creative and you find ways to really dig deep. If you have a ton of money, that's when things go to shit. So if we had tons of stories, it just would have been the same thing. But we found a way to make this podcast hilarious by jabbing at people, building off it, coming up, you know,
we're laughing with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, which is one of the coolest things for, because people still, more comics say to me, the you and Rye's rapport with people is amazing, the way that you guys can just bounce off each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kate and I have gotten to a point now where, like, she'll be like, you know what I was just thinking? I'm like, that we should go to Rayo's for dinner next week. And she's like, yeah, how'd you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I just had a feeling. We're the same way when we're recording. We did this so long together. There were times she would say something and I'd go to look at you to like get a high sign and you'd either already be in it or you'd be looking at me.
Just chopping at the bit.
You get like, excited.
Please, I don't want to interrupt them. But hurry up and finish.
But you know what? The other thing that I'm really proud about, like my friend just, my buddy Jay, you know Jay. Jay's a composer on the show Z Nation. If you watch Z Nation, he's created all the music and arrangements for that show. It's been on 5 years on Sci-Fi. And he's like, or four or five, I can't remember. And he's like, man, I'm just hoping I get one more year, you know? And I'm like, yeah, man. They go, there's a chance. And he just texted me today the email that they got that it wasn't going to go, you know, that it was going to get canceled. How many shows have you worked on that gets canceled? You get let go of. We decided on our own terms.
Oh, shit.
We started this. We ended it. We decided. And we just were like, yes, you know. I encourage every one of you out there, if there are things in your life that you've just been doing, because you can get in a really comfortable routine where you just like keep taking steps and that's what you're going to do. But the only way you can truly grow is to like cut off your two front legs, man.
And you don't need that. All the power comes from your back ones anyway.
I'm saying. You know, and like challenge yourself to do something else and become someone different and, you know, create new realities for yourself of like what you want your world to be. You know, I think it's awesome, man. I love that we're able to do this.
Well, I'm very proud of you too. Your new show is such a creative departure from not only what we're doing here, but anything you've ever really done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what kind of fool wouldn't support that? What kind of friend would not support that? Like, I wish you well. I've loved sitting across from you every week.
Every Tuesday.
I mean, we've made it happen. And I'm proud of the constant, consistent show that we put out, and I'll tell you, and it's a huge thank you to the fans too, because our numbers have gone up every year. We've never. Dropped a bit. Yeah. Never. It's always been a steady incline, and I know that when we leave this podcast where it is, there are going to be people that'll still find it I heard, you know, and I'll always be referencing the Crab Feast, and as I've said, every live show, I'll always welcome the Fuck the Crab Feast and the Hey Hey Players and the Tuesdays and everything.
Of course.
I mean, I love it. It's been, I mean, I've done a lot of cool things in my career. This has been my favorite.
Yeah.
This has been my favorite
thing.
Well,
it's also been in comedy, outside of performing stand-up, but that's the job anyway. This is the longest gig I've ever had.
Ever.
You know, and we created it.
It lasts longer than my relationships, player, you know, right here.
We all feel.
I'm ready. They all end. You know what I'm saying? All of them end for me.
You just never know when. No, but I mean, if you go see Coldplay on their new tour, you still want to hear Yellow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, and, you know, we're both going to do different things, but that's the thing. Like, you know, we're always going to have an element of this in whatever we do. I've already done, I think, 14 interviews for my new podcast.
Wow.
And I brought up the Crab Feast probably 8 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talking about like, oh, what we did on the Crab Feast. And it's like, you know, it's kind of remarkable that we're able to do something for this long and have a great fan base that cares. And that's the other thing. We've said it a number of times, but I do want to say it again. You guys have been the most respectful, the most interesting, the most
funny.
God. But respect talented. For me is the one thing that stood out the most, because what we do in here, calling out and screaming and saying crazy shit, and like people call out fuck the crab feast, you think
sea queasies,
you'd think these people are going to be like rowdy, and never once,
never.
Dude. Everyone would just wait in line, come up, be super appreciative, super nice, and I was always just so blown away that you're such great fans, you're so humble and relatable, and so many of you are great parents and like reach out to us about parenting and how they love how we are with our kids. And, you know, I think you guys know how important our kids are to us. I mean, it's my whole world
now,
is
different for our parents, for your dad, and my mom.
Listen, but man, he was a little confused.
Go ahead, keep going.
I love you guys so much, and I really appreciate everything that, like everyone keeps saying, like, oh, man, I can't believe the last one's coming, but this is a chance for us all to, like, grow and move to something else, and, you know, like Rye said, it'll always be there. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but, like, we should try and find a way that once a year we'll get together and do a podcast.
I'd love to. Well, that would not be once a year is not a fucking problem.
No, I know it's not, but I'm saying, like, you know.
You know. Well, I want you to come on the news show. Here's another thing I want to tell
fans. I'm pretty busy in the new year.
Mom tapped out a story.
Santa Claus! Get off! God damn, man.
I want to tell the fans this, that when you're in this industry and the stuff that they don't know out there, there's a lot of times when we first started off that people just thought we were talk about sports and we're jockey and frat boy-y, and that was what our audience was, and that is not what our audience is. And
no,
I love
and that's
that.
Not who...
I love that, because we knew, but all these other people, they're just two dudes telling stories. It's all frat boy. I mean, I've been told that within the industry is frat boy humor. I'm like, what about this is frat boy humor?
Yeah.
You know, it's not fucking Tommy Boy. I think that's frat boy college stuff, which I love.
That's like, so relatable.
Yeah, you're right. That's legendary.
Well, that's why I was always so surprised, because you hope that, like, you know, there tends to be this, like, thing in comedy where you're either, like, the nerdy kid in high school, and so you never had anyone close, so you
right.
now you can come out on stage. Or there's guys that were like, you always popular, and you picked on everybody, and that's what you still do. But you and I were like, we walked both lines. You know what I mean?
100%.
I was in Boy Scouts till I was a junior in high school. I was in marching band all 4 years.
I was in daycare in middle school, bro.
Somebody get over there and change his diaper. Hey!
But me and my twin brother are the only kids old enough not to have to take a nap.
That's crazy. I mean, we went to the Y. We just went to the Y afterwards.
My mom, because my brother was almost 4 years younger, he should have been in the daycare. My mom's like, you're all fucking going there. We're like, we're in middle school. Like, we could watch
him. You
think
I'm going to take care of you?
We could watch it.
So I did want to tell you guys a little more about the podcast, and Rye wants to tell you a little bit about his. As I told you, it's going to be the Throughline podcast. Each week I'll take a different topic or subject or item, and I use that as a Throughline to interview two different guests. I do like a 10 to 15 minute story up top about what it is and how it relates to me, and then I do an hour interview with each guest, chop it down to 15, so it's about a 45 minute to an hour podcast, and then the full interviews for each guest is available on my Patreon, the patreon.com/throughline, and it's going to be great. I have Ira Glass, Dan Harmon. I did a storytelling podcast with the two of them. I'm doing an episode about people who used to be comedians with I have Freddie Prinze Jr. coming on, and then a guy I know.
He started in stand-up?
No, but his dad was a stand-up.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and the reason Freddie doesn't do acting anymore is because he didn't want to be away from his kids like his dad was. Yeah. And so I have a guy on that was a stand-up and gave it all up. I have one on Vinyl with Mark Maron. I have one on Binoculars with Michael Kelly from House of Cards. True Crime with Yardley Smith, who plays Lisa Simpson. And then I have Tim Dillon paired with that. So there's going to be a lot of interesting stories and POVs on different topics. And then the full interviews, which will stray from what the topics are going to be available on my Patreon. I'm really proud of it. I really enjoy it. And it's something different and something that I think can be really cool. I'm going to do one, I think, on something just deaf, people that are deaf. And I have this guy that I know. What's that? Come on, baby. So I want to try and do some things that are outside the box, and I hope you guys subscribe. When we launch on January 8th, I'm going to have it on this feed for a while and simulcast on the
I thought you're not on the first?
The first, I'm just dropping like an intro episode, but the first real guest is the 8th. You know, it's tough to launch one on the first. So the first will just be like a 30-minute episode of where I break down which ones are coming up and what we're going to be doing. And so I'm really excited about that. So it'll be simulcast on this feed for a while and then on my new feed over at Starburns Industries. So I'm really, really excited about that. And I'm really excited about the Honeydew, baby.
I appreciate it. I'm excited about it, too. My new show, The Honeydew, will be at Your Mom's House Studios, doing it every Wednesday. From what I understand, there'll be video. I think that'll go up on Thursday, something like that. But we'll get all that ironed out. The next couple of weeks, we're still doing tech run-throughs and making sure the studio's all set up. And then I think Tom and Christina like to be live around maybe the 8th or 9th. That's the plan. But you know how construction and shit goes. Because Tom's doing this thing up, man. He's building this studio. I went and checked it out. It's fucking awesome. So the honeydewpodcast.com will be the website. I'll have Twitter. I'll have a Facebook fan page. There's already a fan page created by the Feasters. So I appreciate the shit out of that. We're just going to be doing storytelling and with more of a focus on, I call it highlighting the lowlights. It's exactly what we just talked about, like laughing at the fact that, you know, what I just said, my favorite thing about the fucking Krabbies, when my dad's dead, you're sitting over there talking about turkey at fucking Thanksgiving right before.
Couple days before his death.
And then, look, I'll tell you that right now, like the worst thing that had ever happened at that time in my life was the only parent that wanted me died, and the other one had already thrown me away, and it's just like, what the fuck are you going to do? And you think it's the worst thing. I'll tell you this much. I don't know if I'd be sitting here right now if my father was alive. I don't know if I would have left for California and set out to you know, be a comedian. I don't know that I would have done that.
If the Northridge earthquake didn't happen, you might have gone out there, gotten a degree, and then moved to San Francisco.
Or I might have been here the semester before and fucking killed an earthquake. You know what I'm saying? You don't know anything.
We could have been so lucky.
So, I mean, it's storytelling with more of a focus and a lot less Jay Larson over there.
You know what I'm saying?
More on that. You know, you stay subscribed right here. As Jay said, you'll hear his podcast for the full month of January, and then you'll stay with me right here, and I'll continue to give you all the social media. I think Twitter is at Honeydew Pod. I got to write it all down for you, but the honeydewpodcast.com. And we'll have it all up and running when, January 2nd, I guess I'm going to do. So that's the other thing. The video won't be ready yet. So I want to give you guys a sample audio episode. So I'll have an episode of that for you to kick off, and then we'll really get into high gear come, mid-January.
January. That'll be great.
2019.
Man. It's going to be good to try new things.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Get out there. It's like, how can we ask our kids to try new things?
Well,
and
I'm going
to
tell
preach
you,
to people
right.
about
I
want to
be on the through line.
Ourselves.
I want to be on the through line.
Well, I mean, we're pretty booked.
Let's figure out we're booked up to 2021.
We got a lot of people.
And I definitely want you to come on the Honeydew, so you just have to figure out how you want to shape up your stories and stuff. But here's the thing people don't know, Jay, is a lot of the stuff that you're doing or have coming up that you're comfortable talking about, which I don't want you to do now, but when you come on and talk about that stuff.
Sure.
Thank you.
What else?
Favorite episode. I can't pick one. I just can't. I mean,
I'd say the most fun live episode, which live episodes were always fun. But Houston was probably my favorite.
Yeah. No doubt.
That was super, super fun.
To have a guy come
and
in.
Kumail Nanjiani and Will Anderson at Bridgetown in the basement of the Doug
no
Fir.
No doubt.
I think that was the first time, because that was the first time we did Bridgetown, wasn't it?
It was.
That was the first time when I was sitting there, like, we were comfortable, we were who we were, and we had two comedians that we, like, absolutely loved who had amazing stories. It was just the most balanced, perfect episode. That was so much goddamn fun. I remember just, like, we walked differently after that, you know?
Yeah, it was a great live episode.
Yeah, that was sick.
And we released all the live ones
for
free.
That was the glass eye.
That was the glass eye. Shots out of that glass eye, dude.
Yeah.
So if you know, look...
again, if you just literally listened and you didn't binge listen and you went back to the beginning of the Crab Feast and listened, you'd have damn near 7 years again. I can't even remember. Like, there, I go on the fan page. I'm like, who's the guest that Dad did this? And I'm like, God, I don't remember. But there's always one of you all out there.
Always remembers.
Always like, Johnny Pemberton, episode 214 at this time code. I'm like, you guys treat each other so well. The Kelsey Cook fucking vagina story. There's so many stories.
If you committed an 8-hour workday to listening to the Crab Feast, it would take you 10 weeks.
2.5 months, is that about right?
Yeah.
Wow.
40 hours a week. You know,
that's a lot.
Probably more. You know, I did it as like an hour ep, but it's probably more than that. That Bridgetown ep was super fun.
I also want to say thank you to All Things Comedy, Al Madrigal, Bill Burr, sure. Mike Bertolino, Brenton Biddlecombe. Definitely don't want to forget Brenton.
Aaron and Mike over there, like who used to be Aaron, in the studio with us, right. Helping us all the time. Yep.
Eric Harbin, going back to Eric Harbin day one. Jeff Fox, current producer and has been for a while, also helped me record my album. So huge thank you to him for all he's done as well. God. I agree. I think the best live episode was that one. That was just a fucking home run. That really was. And the other ones were great, too. Dana and Ian up in Bridgetown were awesome.
Super fun.
Mick and Brant in Irvine were fantastic. You forget about it. That's number one.
Yeah.
So many fucking fun episodes. I really enjoyed doing supporting breast cancer awareness every October, every year was
for sure.
Awesome. And thank you all for helping out with that, because as you know, we always donated a portion of
and always you guys sharing your stories with us either through emails. That's another thing. We got a lot of emails from you guys, and all of which I honestly don't think when they first started coming in, I was reading them all, and then I'd leave them as unread so Rye could read them, and I think you would do the same.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of emails from
hundreds
you guys.
Hundreds and hundreds.
One of the ideas was we'll go through every email and respond, and we're like, we just can't.
That'd be a whole new podcast.
And it's too emotional. There were some of you guys that like really shared to an extent. We appreciate the hell out of that. So we appreciate you always reaching out on that front to us, because you guys gave so many great stories. There were times that you'd read those stories and like, oh man, this is why we do this podcast, is because we get these great stories back and know that, I would read them and be like, oh man, these people are probably like, they're opening to us, which means they're opening themselves, which means they're a more complete person to the people around them. It was just such a cool feeling to see you guys be so willing to share, you know?
And I'm not going to be able to say everything I want to say right now, because I can't. There's so much I want to say, and I'm sure little things will bleed out into the honeydew and all that stuff that I'll be referencing back. But
Josh Adam Myers over here mentioned
crying those angry tears, bro. I've said that my favorite thing about the Crab Feast was laughing at the adversity and all that, which is why I want to continue a podcast like that with the focus on that. But the other thing I really loved was knowing that we were out there with fans on their mail routes, on their UPS. Yeah. Shout out to UPS, Baltimore Hub, Primary One, Joe Avenue. FedEx routes. Pilots were telling us they're up in the cockpit laughing at the crap. We had the one fan from Australia in that quarry with those, monster dump trucks where the tires are like the size of a fucking building and shit. You know, like, I love knowing, or that this mom is home trying to put the kids to bed and she's listening, or whatever is going on. I love that we had people get banned from listening to podcasts at work because they were laughing so fucking hard. You know, people saying they got sent to HR and shit like that.
That dude. One woman who recorded the touch pitching on a loop to put her kids to bed with that sound. of course.
I love every fucking thing about this podcast. I will be proud of this podcast. And again, consistent and, always. Jesse Shapiro's episode wasn't that funny. We were, though. I feel like we did what we could.
Well, we always do what we can,
Hilarious that there had to be one worst episode voted by the fans, and it was no doubt that one.
Yeah, they knew. It was so funny when those first two, that first week, like, what the fuck happened this week? That's what people were saying. Like, what was that?
I'm glad. Yeah,
I'm glad you guys stuck with us after
I
that.
I am too. We were worried because I was like, man, and everybody was like, it wasn't them. I was like, thank God. You know, you don't know if you're going to get over a hiccup or something.
Don't forget, like, you know, TV shows have fallen because of bad apps. We never had a back to back bad
app. Happy Day jumped the shark, man.
You know what I mean?
That could have been a jump to shark moment.
Yeah. How many bad apps did we have in the course of 7 years? I'd say one bad and maybe three. The rest are like, I'd say we're consistently a 7.5 to 8.
Oh, I give
out of 10.
I give us an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dip into the
C's. I'm saying consistently.
Yeah.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, yeah, I would. No, we're a solid B plus. All right. But I'm saying
88 play.
9s and 10s, I'd say we're probably, what, 45% of the time?
Yeah. Whew. It's a lot.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're a 5-star rating. That's for
no
damn
doubt,
sure.
Man. You know, and that's another thing. Thank you all for lighting up that iTunes page for the Crafties. Feel free to do the same for my album. Get a hold of yourself.
And feel free to do it for the Honeydew and the Through Line,
please.
Because those are going to be the things that when we first launch, need you guys to be active and go out there, because it'll just help us a ton if you guys can go over there.
That's
and do
the
that.
Truth. You guys are always asking for ways to help, and that's a free way to go on iTunes. Give it a five-star review. And it really, you'll start to see the podcast move up the charts. You'll start to see all that stuff when people are interacting with it, because it's important. So you guys have been there every Tuesday for 7 years. Can't say thank you enough. And I can't say thank you enough to you.
You too, buddy.
I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. I wish you nothing but success with the Through Line.
Of course.
And everything else you're doing, because you have some really exciting stuff coming up.
We both do. You know, that's another thing that people don't. You know, Kate and I have been talking about it, and she's like, you know, if you really look at it, as similar as you and I are in, like, viewpoint, we're very, very different people.
Completely.
And it's like, Kate was like, it's so amazing that you guys, for 7 years, were able to keep that going, because you guys are different people.
Pockets.
Of course. Of course.
There has to be.
There has to
be. You have to. That's the other thing I
even if we were, like, super similar,
yeah.
You know.
You have to learn how to argue. That's what people forget about that in relationships. Like, you're like, oh, all right, that's how you come at it. All right, so now I got to learn, and you have to learn, and I think we did a great job with that.
For sure, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure that goes into this stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know, especially when you work with someone all the time, you know, like, we worked together for a long time, especially when we would, like, I would go on the road for Best Bars. We had to bank up a ton of episodes, or you were going to be working.
We had to bank up. Nights or on lunch breaks, and I mean, yeah, when we made it work.
We grinded. And I will say this, for those of you guys that don't know, Rye doesn't, he's a producer. You're a producer. At the end of the day, one of your main jobs is being a producer.
I'm a comedian.
Of course.
Who can produce.
Okay.
Yes.
But you did a great job keeping us on schedule all the time. If you guys know me, I'm aloof, man. I like to get caught up in the day and let the wind take me. And
he likes to get out there and, you know, up on the rooftops with old Saint Nick and go like, take him away, Sandy.
But no, man, you did an amazing job throughout these
seven years,
keeping us on track, getting everything in line. Rye was always, you know, you have a much better approach at that kind of thing than I do. And I always appreciated all the work you put in. And,
thank you, dude. And yours as well. I mean,
especially, you know what else was a thing? We talked about storytelling. That's what Ryan and I did when we did comedy back in the day. We were the guys who were always telling stories, and they were a derivative of our comedy. And like when I did story time with Jay Larson, he was the first guy I thought of. And for us to be able to like then take that into this and then turn that into something else, it's just awesome, man.
It's awesome, dude. This has been awesome. I love you. And I'm very excited about what the future holds for
both
of us.
That was my whole point. We both are different and have different goals and different things we want to do. And I think it's going to be really fun for you guys to follow us both and see how you'll be able to see the through line of what connects Ryan and I together through comedy and who our past has been, at the same time as we grow into these new things that we both want to do and where we're going to be successful, you know?
I do, brother.
And I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to see all the shit you're going to do and all the stuff you've done in the last year, dude. You've done a lot of stuff in the last year.
This has been a really great year for me. It has. I mean, I could go on and on, but it's been a great year from working with Kevin Hart to selling another series to E to being sponsored and getting a Topps baseball card to so many fucking things to being just, you know, to being a dad. I love it. I tell you all the time. It's my favorite fucking thing to do. So you're a great father. You got a great family. You have a great future ahead of you. We're still going to be working together. And I love you, Jay Larson.
I love you too, buddy.
Well, Jay will talk to y'all next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to y'all next Wednesday.
I'm at the comedy club, man.
I'm at the comedy club, man.
Hey, hey, player.
Hey, hey, player.
I don't get scared. I get startled.
Ah, Sandy's still here, Sandy. Tuesday's gone, Sandy. Tuesday's gone.
Yo, fuck the crab feast, man.
Fuck the crab feast.
Hey, that's my parking spot. Fuck that, man.
5 stars, player.
Listen, man, I know you're close friends, but can you take off your 4 shoes when you come in the house? Thanks.
Tears, man. I'm not sad.
He's gone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. You better be hugging your family, loving them, and eat some damn good food today.
You better be hugging and loving. I hope you're surrounded by family, friends, love, happiness, wealth. That's what I want for all of you, some kind of wealth. Emotional, mental, monetary.
You know what? Fuck, let's go dig up our dead dads and really.
Let's get to the bottom of this love thing.
Did you get copyright on that song?
No.
Right, we're going to have to pay for that.
Probably
man.
Have to pay for that, play. I love you all.
Love you too, guys. Love you, Ryan
Sickler.
Love you,
Jay. Feaster Nation for life.
For life.